high desert in the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning. On a Friday night, Saturday morning, open line. This is your program tonight. I at least hold one night every week, preferably Friday night, because everybody's in a pretty good mood for open lines, and that is tonight. All right. Welcome. New affiliates, KFGO in Fargo, North Dakota. 790 on the dial. 5,000 watts. That thing ought to rip across North Dakota and more, I'm sure. 790 on the dial. KBOX in Moorhead, Fargo, North Dakota. Simulcasting 1280 on the dial. Gosh, got Fargo covered all of a sudden, huh? Welcome, Fargo. KFGO and KBOX. Glad to have you on the ever-growing network. Well, during the program last night, in the last 30 minutes of the program, it reached me that George Harrison had passed away. And so that left me in about 30 minutes of, for the program anyway, of shock. And then all day long today, friends, family, fans, everybody, the country, the world is grieving the death of George Harrison. And so you saw a lot of George Harrison all day long on all the news media, and properly so. I don't know how you can say enough about him. I beat cancer twice and it got him the third time around. It's like something died inside when you lose somebody like this. I grew up with the Beatles. I'm 56 years old, so I grew up with them. They have been a part of my life. The really good thing about this is, they'll always be a part of our life. They leave a legacy, as they leave us, that will live on forever. Forever and ever. And so that's how I have started to think about it today. You know, they'll be with us forever. So I'm sorry. You know, music, I can't even tell you how much of my life is involved with music. It is so much a part of me, and has been all my life. I worked in music radio my adult life prior to talk radio. Talk radio was my second incarnation in radio. My first was surely in music. And I lived the life of a rock and roll disc jockey, and I probably was on as many as 30 radio stations in my time. Living as a jock is it's a rough, tough existence, folks, and yet you do it because surely not because of the money. Oh, you starve to death until you finally get to some pretty big markets. I made it to some big ones finally, but in the beginning, like everybody else as a kid, I starved to death. But my love of radio, my love of music, drove me forth anyway. Sure never had a hard time getting a job. That was radio. You could always get a job. I mean, if you were sort of halfway decent, you could get a job, and I never was lacking for one unless I intentionally wanted to be. So I just had a blast. I loved those years. I loved music, and so the loss of somebody like Harrison is, it's like something, a little something dying inside. But then, as I began to sort of deal with the grief, as we all do during the day, I thought, well, you know, he leaves a legacy that will last forever. And he sure does. Thank you, George Harrison. War news. Anti-Taliban tribesmen claimed that they were advancing Friday on Kandahar, last Taliban stronghold in Afghanistan. A former governor there reportedly had a force of about 3,000 fighters moving on Kandahar from the south. Another tribe closing in on the city from the north. U.S. airstrikes supporting all of this. You know, and my question, dare I ask this question? You know, you have tribe A and you have tribe B advancing on Kandahar, and the U.S. helping out. It does look as though we are about to consolidate Afghanistan. Great, but will the new boss be any better than the old boss? I think we all ought to be asking that, these various tribes. I don't have a clue with regard to what they're politically, how they're made up, but it could be, you know, the old boss, or the new boss, no different than the old boss. I guess we're going to have to just find out, though it's hard to believe anything's worse than the Taliban. I still think that what has happened now in Afghanistan, and I know there'll be a bunch of hissing out there about this, but you remember just a few months ago, more than a few now, but not that many, when they blew up the big Buddhas. Do you remember that? You could imagine this is karma for the Taliban that did it. And for, you know, for Afghanistan, you could imagine this is some sort of karma. They blew up those giant Buddhas. And I thought then that that was one of the worst things I had ever seen. And lo and behold, comes a war in Afghanistan shortly thereafter. Just a thought. Perhaps coincidence, huh? The Taliban and Al-Qaeda terrorist group, according to our defense secretary, Donald Rumsfeld, are becoming more dangerous now than they were. You know, it's one of those situations where as we consolidate, if you can call it that, Afghanistan, it's getting harder to tell the good guys from the bad guys, and they still have forces outside Afghanistan. So for those of you, it's tempting, you know, to say to yourself, oh boy, we are really kicking the hell out of them over there, and we are. But Al-Qaeda is stretched around the world. And what we are doing right now will have repercussions itself. So it's no time to relax and think it's over, because baby, it ain't over yet. Not by a long shot. But you've got to say, we're doing pretty well in Afghanistan. I certainly do. Talks on Afghanistan's, and now here you go, listen to this, political front and future deadlocked Friday after the Northern Alliance leader in Kabul insisted an interim administration be elected and objected to plans for international peacekeepers. They don't want them in there. Well, I'm not saying the new boss is as bad as the old boss, but I'm saying there is that possibility and you should brace yourself. We'll see. That poor 94-year-old woman in Connecticut who died from anthrax, according to the governor of Connecticut, she might have gotten it from the mail, but they really have no specific way of proving that at all. They don't know. That's a purity guess. There is no proof. They don't know how. They don't know how. The Green River murder suspect has been arrested, a man arrested today in connection with the deaths of four women. That's a Green River killer. And you know how they did it? DNA. They had old DNA that they matched with new DNA, and he's the guy. Listen, Monday, ABC's Good Morning America. This should be really, really interesting. I can't wait, in a way, and in another way, I'm sick of waiting. Dean Kamen's it. Diane Sawyer said she's going to reveal what it finally is. And I think that one of the reasons that we're finally going to find out is because people got tired of asking and having conjecture about it. They finally didn't care anymore, and so now it's time to reveal it. But Monday morning, we'll all know, I guess, what it is. A lot of heightened military activity. You won't see this in the headlines going on in Israel right now that is not being widely reported. There may be something going on in Israel. We'll just have to wait and see. Just wanted to alert you, there's some unusual military activity in Israel. I am aware of that fact. All right, so if you would like to talk about anything that we have talked about, oh, and there's so much that piled up during the week. Surely the discovery off the coast of Cuba, that's a monster story, and we're not done with that. Cloning. I'm far from finished with cloning. The discoveries in the state of Illinois in the cave, you may want to comment on that. You may want to comment on Dean Radin, who virtually came on the air and confirmed everything I told you about the experiments that I've run in past years. And you may have some comments on those experiments. As you know, I have once again sort of put them in hiatus. But what has occurred with them is, it's astounding. And I think this may be a power, ultimately, as large as the atom bomb or much, much bigger. Much bigger. So we're on to so many stories right now on the program that I can imagine you would have comment on one or many of them. And I will welcome it. Anything goes. It's your night tonight. Open line, Friday night, Saturday morning, and I am in a great mood. All right. Open lines promised. Open lines coming now. First time caller line, you are on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art Bell. My God, it's wonderful to talk to you. I finally got through to you.
Glad you made it, sir.
My name is Levi. I drive a truck for a living.
I can tell. I can hear the truck and I can hear the cell phone. Where are you roughly?
Oh, God, I'm somewhere in Illinois on 74.
Okay. All right. Good.
Years ago, I had a strange dream that involved a rain shower in it. I knew a guy over in Tulsa knew about that sort of thing. And he said anytime you have a rain in a dream, it symbolizes a spiritual blessing. And I noticed when George Bush and Vladimir Putin got together down in Texas,
yeah.
I mean, the bottom fell out of those clouds. It sure seemed like God shining on whatever they were talking about over there. I just wondered if anybody else noticed.
Well, yeah, but they weren't dreaming, right? They were...
No, I mean, if it's true in the dream, I figure it's good in the physical, too, because he don't have to let it dream. He don't have to let it rain.
Well, now, you know, you're worrying me, because as soon as you said that, I started thinking, have I ever in my life had a dream where it rained? And, actually, I don't think I have.
I've only had one, and it was a really strange dream, but, I don't know, I'm just assuming that,
actually, now
somebody
that...
in Russia listens to your broadcast, I'd like to, ask God bless George Bush and Vladimir Putin, and maybe they can, bless both of their countries. I mean, I think it's great that these two are finally getting together and being allies.
All right, sir, I appreciate it. I hope that's true. I hope that's true, and I think it is true. I think that ultimately Russia really will be our ally. It's still really hard to tell what's going to happen over there. I've been to Russia, and even though, all the barriers have fallen and Russia has economically collapsed, I would say, Ronald Reagan was right. Trust but verify. And I hope they do become our allies. It's a pretty strange country to be in. And there's still a lot of communist sentiment there. There are a lot of people who miss communism. Believe me, there are a lot of people who miss communism. So I don't think the final story on Russia's direction is going to be told until they either completely begin to succeed or completely fail economically and are forced to do something else, if they get some success economically, then I think you could conclude they're certainly off in the right direction and we'll keep going that way. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is Dennis in San Antonio.
Hello, Dennis.
Hi, I guess I'm a Generation Xer and I just wanted to say what George Harrison meant to me.
Please do.
There's so many baby boomers, on the air talking about what he meant to them when they were young. And I just wanted to tell you about a weekend I had back in, 1987. I was an adolescent, and I was just discovering music for the first time. And, it was... They did a thing on a radio station where they play six Beatles songs every hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I listened to that the whole weekend. I didn't even sleep. And then when I did sleep, I recorded it. That was like having Beatlemania. their whole catalog in, not just the first year, but their whole 6 or 7 year catalog all at once. It was a very powerful experience.
The Beatles, sir, were very powerful. What they did, the music they wrote, and the music they sang, that's the right word, very powerful indeed. And always will be. Still is. That was the one thing that cheered me up today, is that the music is always going to be there for us. There to inspire other musicians to try to rise to that level. It'll always be there. At least that hasn't left. As the individuals do, sadly, the music doesn't. It's still there. It'll always be there. What a legacy. Most of us can't begin to leave that sort of legacy to the world, so that's a good thing. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
This is Ann in the Springfield, Missouri Ozarks. I'm listening to you on KWTO.
Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to call and say a couple of things, if I may. First of all, about George Harrison. He truly was a minstrel with talents from God.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know, Art, that there is an entire legion of professional drivers who are in the rock and roll industry? All they do is go across the United States transporting all the personal equipment for different rock and roll stars.
You mean roadies.
You got it, man.
Yeah.
Do you know that there's a legion of them from a group called Stage Call that are devout followers of yours?
Well, no, I didn't know that, but
yeah.
I'm certainly happy to hear it. You know, I understand a roadie's life. Believe me, I understand a roadie's life, and so I can understand why they'd be listeners to this program.
Oh, they are. Matter of fact, a personal friend of mine's driving the personal equipment for Aerosmith right now.
There you are.
Yeah. I wanted to tell you a real short story, if I may, about George Harrison.
Sure.
My husband, Tim, even though I'm from the Ozarks, I grew up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and back in the 60s and 70s, and that was a cool place to be because even though it wasn't a large city, Leon Russell had a recording studio and label called Shelter Records.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, many of your rock and roll icons hung out in Tulsa all the time, jamming and hanging out with Leon.
You know an awful lot about this. You want to explain to me your involvement?
Sure.
Yeah. How are you involved?
All right. My husband, Tim, lived over in Tulsa, and we were out in the backyard barbecuing one day, and a friend of his whose parents lived next door to him was a killer guitar player named Carl Radel. He played, jammed a lot with Eric Clapton,
mm-hmm.
and was on a lot of different records. And Carl drove up in his new BMW and got out and came over, and Tim and I are barbecuing back there and everything, and he walks up with George Harrison.
No kidding.
Yeah, totally cool. So we're standing around visiting and everything, and George goes, you know, in his British accent, "What are you cooking on the barbie?" and all this kind of stuff. And Tim goes, "Man, I'm smoking some ribs."
Uh-huh.
And apparently they had the munchies, and George said, "Could I try one?" And Tim says, "Of course," you know. So he pulls out some clean paper towels and opens up the smoking barbecue and wraps a big old rib up and hands it to him. And we all stand around munching ribs with George Harrison. And he was so real, Art. He was such a nice person, you know.
Well, look, most people are. I mean, there are a few people who get great fame and, you know, they become new body orifices, right? But,
right.
But for the most part, people are just people. I mean, that's all there is to it. They're just people. And sure, he was a nice guy. So you've hobnobbed quite a bit, haven't you? I can tell.
Yes, I have. I used to be a disc jockey, and I've met a lot of cool people in the music industry.
I knew it. I could hear it. Just in your voice, I could hear it.
But I'll tell you, Art, you're great, man.
Oh,
love your show.
Thank you very much. And have a good night, good morning, whatever.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Yep. You can hear it in her voice. Munching on ribs with Harrison, huh? I'm Art Bell. From the high desert, it goes your way tonight. Open lines, Friday night, Saturday morning. Anything you want to talk about is fair game. It is a strange world, isn't it? Full of all kinds of different people who want different things.
Ski jeans are made of ears. Who am I to disagree? Want to get used by you. Some of them want to abuse you.
Clark Bell in the Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
Hey, listen, do you remember last night when people were talking about David Blaine? David Blaine is a magician. Only the fellow who called me said he's not a magician. He really does it. Well, I got a million emails about all that today, and I've got a picture. Somebody sent me a picture of David Blaine levitating on a sidewalk with his feet up off the sidewalk, and I'll be damned if that isn't what it looks like. So it's up on the website right now. I just got it up there. Or Keith did, more accurately. I sent it to Keith and he got it up there right away. You should see this photo. Man, oh man, this guy is levitating up off a sidewalk. Either that, well, I don't see what else it could be. This guy is hovering above a sidewalk. Ay-yi-yi. Want to take a look? It's at artbell.com. And also the new ghost photo. You got to see that. Everybody's saying that's a real knockdown photo. It's called Ghost in Indonesia. Both of these items are available right now at artbell.com under What's New. Take a look. See, I'd like your opinion actually on both. And when you call tonight, if you can get to a computer before you call and get a look at these photos, the Blaine photo and the ghost photo, I sure would like your opinion. Open lines. What's going on right now is my first time caller line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Art, big fan, New York City.
Ah, 77 WABC. Yes, sir.
A Beatles C.
You bet.
September 11th terrorist attack was launched from within the United States, and we must get serious by deporting all illegal immigrants with a timeout on legal immigration. Because right now the FBI and the CIA are dealing with a tangled web with all these people inside this country. We do not know who they are. And the easiest way to ease up the pain on the FBI and the CIA is by deporting these people, because we have a big problem on our hands in this country, and it will only be settled with deportations of these illegals.
You know, I've always wondered why we don't enforce the law. I mean, there's a law against illegally coming to America, period. And what we do is we gather up several million, many million illegals, and then we give them amnesty and make them citizens. And we say we're never doing this anymore, and we pass laws, then we don't follow the laws, and then we have another amnesty for illegal aliens, and now they're talking about another one. It's an insane policy. It means the whole damn thing doesn't work.
Right. The whole world is coming to America. Let's be honest. Business groups and minority groups inside America want this flood of immigration inside of America. They're changing our culture. And right now, for security reasons, that's the most important thing right now. We have to have these illegals deported. I don't hear no one talking about it. You know, Art, if MacArthur and General Patton were both still alive today, you know where they would want to be stationed? They would want to be stationed right here inside the United States of America, because they know that's where the enemy are.
That's where the biggest threat is. Yeah, thanks. Well, look, you know, I detect in what you said a sort of a bias against ethnicity. It strengthens America. Ethnicity strengthens America. But I do agree with you with regard to the illegals. You know, the policy we have on this is nuts. And it really is no policy, and it really doesn't work. And so we continue this failed policy by letting the number of illegals build up until we can't do a damn thing about it anymore, and then we give them all amnesty. And so you can almost know if you're coming to America and you can just beat the system for long enough, they're going to give you amnesty and you're going to become a citizen. That's a stupid, non-working, idiotic, dangerous policy. My opinion. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Wow, I can't believe it.
Well, believe it you are. Where are you?
Ohio. How you doing?
I'm doing okay, sir.
Great. You know, it's really sad about George passing away. And,
yes.
I just wanted to mention there's a really great album out there that Beatles fans would just flip over. It's a new release. It's called the Tribute to Lennon and the Beatles album.
Really?
Oh, it's fantastic. Oh, my God. You've got to get it. You've got to hear it.
When do you think that we will ever have an opportunity for any music group to come along and change the face of everything that's happening the way the Beatles did? Will that ever happen again, I wonder, in our lifetimes?
No.
Yeah, maybe not.
It won't happen because society at that time was just young enough and naive enough to be hit with this heavy promotion that brought them to our shores, that people
But hey, we've got lots of groups, sir, that get tons of promotion.
That's the problem.
It's just that
everything's being promoted today,
Yeah, but in the case of the Beatles, the promotion didn't even do justice to the product.
I know. I know. And just like you can tell people all day long about Art Bell.
Please, no, don't start putting me in that league.
No, you were doing okay.
Until you got to me. Now don't do that.
Why are you being so modest?
Because I am, sir. Thank you very much for the call, but no, don't do that. I'm not in that league. Wouldn't ever begin to think so, and don't need you telling me that. I'm not, and I just do a talk show. That's all. And my contribution, I'll be well to be remembered, you know, at all, in some circles. But the Beatles? Huh. The Beatles changed everything forever. Bless them. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello? Mark.
Yes.
Oh, gosh, Ryan here.
Ryan, where are you?
I'm sorry, how am I? I am yourself. I know you're good.
I'm glad you're fine. No, I was asking, where are you?
Oh, I am here in Kansas City, here in Yon 17, KCMO.
Right.
Must admit to being an avid listener. I've missed a few of your shows, I confess. And I'm wondering what we've discussed about Ginger, what we've heard about her.
Oh, Ginger. That's a female name, but it doesn't mean it's a female whatever in the hell it is.
No, sir. I'm under the impression that it's anti-gravity. I was fascinated by your program and something I heard on NPR as well. Are you in agreement with that?
No. I would lay you money. It is not anti-gravity.
Well, that has something to do with gyroscopes, am I right?
There is a good bet, yes. Gyroscopes, I think so. But not anti-gravity as we really imagine anti-gravity. I mean, actually defying gravity. No.
Yeah, I think that they're holding on to that until it becomes necessary for a war that I'm sure is unnecessary. That's when I unveil this whole anti-gravity thing that people have been reporting for so many years now.
I think that in the labs they're pretty well along toward anti-gravity. Now, would I love it to be? What would I like Ginger to be? Now, there's a good question. I would like Ginger to be an anti-gravity personal transportation vehicle. That's what I would like it to be. I don't think it's going to be that, sir, but wouldn't it be cool?
That's what I've been hoping, and, if indeed it is, of course, I think every new innovation that we see has been developed independently from the technology that the government decides not to fill us in on, you know.
Yeah,
so,
that would be something if it was that. I wish it was that, sir, but I don't for a second think it is. You know, they're doing some interesting experiments with anti-gravity. And they've had some success, you know, with these spinning things that are opposite each other. And there's been some pretty interesting reports, but I don't think that it has matured quietly into a personal anti-gravity transport vehicle. But, my God, I hope that in my lifetime I get to have one. Wouldn't that be fun? Just floating. No propulsion in particular needed. You would just float. Oh, that would be so much fun. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
I didn't get to hear your whole show when you were asking people about the cloning.
Yes.
And one question when you were asking people, are they for it or against it? I wanted to know.
Well, I haven't done a whole show on it yet. I'm working up to that. I really, really, really want to do it with a bioethicist of some sort. I want to have a very serious discussion about this cloning thing. I don't think we ought to go ahead.
Oh, that's right. What I wanted to know was, would you get your back fixed, would you do it?
You mean if I could, like, have a whole new body and a perfect back along with the ride and all the rest of it, would I, what, have, would I be cloned?
No, you were talking about cloning body parts.
I see. Oh, you mean if they could clone me a new back?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, sure, I'd go for that. But, you know, that's the individual body parts. If they could make hands and arms for people who don't have them and that sort of thing, without having to sever them from some poor clone, that's my worry. If they could grow them individually, then, all bets are off.
Okay, because I remember you saying if they could grow a clone that had no awareness whatsoever, just brain function enough to live.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, they're going to be able to do that, sir. That's only one of the pitfalls of cloning. The others are probably not so bearable for me. I mean, they're going to have monsters, for one thing. They're good, you know, even though this company has always just at the cellular level and we're not going to go ahead and clone a whole human, we're right on the verge of it. They're about to clone a human.
And I also wanted to make a suggestion. Your song that you play, Sweet Dreams?
Yes.
I think you ought to switch to the Marilyn Manson version.
Oh, I like the Eurythmic version, but I'll consider it. I thought the Eurythmics nailed it right on. I like the words. I like the song. That's why I play it. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Well, good morning, Art.
And to you, sir.
This is Tim in Springfield, Illinois, listening to you on 970 WNAY.
Yes, sir.
And I heard you say earlier that there were some discoveries in the caves of Illinois.
Oh, yes. We did an entire show on it this week.
Wow. Talk about somebody missing something here.
Oh, yeah. With Glenn Kimball. They have uncovered in caves under the ground in Illinois, unspecified location, what appear to be Egyptian artifacts from Greece. In other words, if this is true, it changes everything we thought. It just throws away so much history. It means that
everything we know is wrong.
Oh, good Lord. People were crossing oceans with transportation and all kinds of technology and what have you. Long, you know, back when we thought they were dragging women into caves by their hair.
Now, back a couple of years ago, I tried to plan a trip to the Egypt site.
Mm-hmm.
When they were going to put the capstone back on.
Yes.
And hopefully I would have been lucky enough to meet Mr. Hoagland. Unfortunately, I had to cancel, and of course, the whole thing was called off as well. But isn't that around the same longitude as Illinois, or latitude, I forget which one it is, but...
I'm not really sure. I have no idea if it's close in lateral lines. I have no idea. I mean, you get out a globe and you can decide for yourself, but I can tell you this. If you get the opportunity to go to Egypt and Giza, you should go. My wife and I were very fortunate, along with some of you, to go to Egypt. And Egypt was amazing. It gives you a whole new sort of look at life, to go and to look at something that ancient and that incredible and that impossible. And as you actually walk in it and you touch it and you look at it, you have a sense of wonder and awe that it could ever have been done, because it can't even be done today. They can't duplicate what was done then. Not even close. Nobody has a clue how it was done. There was some sort of technology that they had that we probably could still have if we had remembered. But apparently we've forgotten. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, hi, Art.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hello. Art. Yes, sir.
Oh, hi. As regards to the previous caller talking about immigration, I mean, look what they did to Pat Buchanan when he brought that up. I mean, they virtually tar and feathered the guy. It's like a big taboo in this country, and it's a total outrage. Art, as far as that CIA operative in Afghanistan, I mean, I was totally outraged what happened to that young man. Why weren't those prisoners strip-searched and put in shackles with more American firepower in the room before they conducted those interviews with those prisoners?
I don't know. It was a riot, as you know, and so I have no idea why they didn't have more security. You would think they'd have a lot of it.
This is supposed to be the greatest nation in the world with the most powerful military. We virtually hung that young man out to dry in that room. I mean, he was a fearless man. But, I mean, the people have to get after the Pentagon and their congressional people because of that. That's a total outrage. Art, do you are familiar with Congressman Tom Tancredo of Colorado? He is the only congressman who is sponsoring legislation to reform immigration in this country. And he is the one who's really fighting for this. But it's actually the Republicans who are in charge of the House of Representatives who's actually stopping his bill from coming out of committee. And he's a Republican. The people, it's the last line of defense in this country, Art, is the American people. And they're the ones who are going to have to demand a reform of immigration. I know you're a big fan of shortwave radio. And I have a couple of regular guys who do a show on a Friday night. It's 10 o'clock. It's 7.415 on the dial. These guys are great. It's Frank of Queens and John of Staten Island. They're from New York City. They were longtime callers of talk radio, big fans of yours.
And they decided to do a program, huh?
Because they were outraged because no one...
No, that's cool. That's the way it should be done. That's
the American way.
Yeah, it is.
Art, it's, if you're ever interested in listening, it's 7.415.
I heard it.
7.415 on the dial. Great show. Your show is absolutely the best, and I hope it keeps expanding.
All right, is 7415 a legal...
Yes, it's actually
it
on
is. All right.
Shortwave.
All right, good. No, that's good. I've got it. Thank you very much. 7415, you know, I listen to a lot of shortwave, as you know. And that's the way to do it. If you're outraged about something, you want voice, then go get voice. Go raise hell about whatever it is. And immigration's a pretty good subject. I have two feelings about immigration. One, immigration and ethnicity in America is a strong point of ours, and we shouldn't stop it. On the other hand, our present immigration policies are stupid, dangerous, don't work, and we should control our borders completely. That doesn't mean we shouldn't allow immigration. It's just that we should know who's coming and going and what they're doing. And to just allow leaky borders and then sort of give everybody the big blessing at one time, all right, you've all managed to evade the INS for long enough, so now we're going to pardon you and make you citizens. But we're going to pass these tough laws, see, and we're going to do things like clamp down on employers and all the rest. Well, none of that crap has worked. And so we still get the same level of illegal immigration, and we solve it the same way. They're already pressuring the president to give another blanket amnesty. It's idiotic. Totally idiotic. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, Art, I'm glad you're having a good night.
I'm glad, too.
I've got a couple of things. First, about George Harrison.
Yes.
I got through the day today because last week I had a dream where John Lennon showed up and told me he was going to take care of George Harrison.
Really?
Yeah.
That's quite a dream to have a week beforehand.
Yeah, I mean, I knew he was sick, so it could have come from anywhere, but...
Sure.
Yeah. And have you ever interviewed Tom Robbins?
No.
Have you ever thought about it?
The motivator, Tom Robbins?
No, the guy that wrote Still Life with Woodpecker and Jitterbug Perfume and even Cowgirls Get the Blues.
No, I haven't ever interviewed him.
Oh, I think that'd be a fun interview. I'd love to hear you interview him.
Really?
You
think I'd do all right in that?
Yeah, I think you guys would be a good team. I think it'd work.
Well, you know me, I'm willing to try anything.
Well, he's pretty visible. You probably wouldn't have any trouble getting a hold of him.
All right, well, help me out. You know, when people want to have somebody on, that's fine. Best thing to do is send me an email, artbell@mindspring.com. ArtBell@Mindspring.com, and just give me what info you have to help me out a little bit.
I can give you his publisher's name. I'll send that tomorrow.
That would be good.
And then in terms of the new boss, the old boss overseas, I think Pete Townsend summed it up when he said, meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
Well, that's what I was ripping it from. But, I mean, the sentiment is there. Whoever these various factions are in Afghanistan, I've got a feeling they may not be everything we think they are or wish they were.
That's usually the way it goes, isn't it?
It usually is. Thanks for the call, and I got to run.
Have a good night, Art.
All right, take care. This is Coast to Coast AM.
Dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. Or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
I thought you might be interested in a little of what we're going to do next week. Well, it's going to be quite a week next week, actually. It'll begin Monday with Frank Joseph. He was on with Linda Moulton Howe, and he has been on a lifelong search for the lost civilizations of Atlantis and Lemuria. So, since we appear to be on the verge of discovering Atlantis, he's a pretty compelling guest, and we'll talk about Atlantis and Lemuria on Monday. How's that sound, huh? Let me see. We'll have something on the paranormal for you on Tuesday. About the evil in Asheville, for example. Hear about that, the evil in Asheville? And on that score, we've got a ghost photo tonight that'll blow your socks off on the website. You've really got to see it. Feedback on this one has been really good, and people on this issue are really critical, but they really did like this one. And then Pam Reynolds will be here on Wednesday. Pam, you know that surgical procedure we're talking about all the time, where they cool your body down in order to get to an aneurysm, they cool your body down, they remove all the blood from your body. She went through it. She went through it. She did this. And she's going to tell us about her near-death experience. In other words, where she went during that time. How's that? That should be very, very interesting, I'd say. That'll be on Thursday. And, Wednesday, Dan Aykroyd is going to be here. Yes, the Dan Aykroyd with David Sirita. And we're going to be talking about UFOs. So, you know, it's a really big lineup coming up next week. Just thought you'd want to know. Back to open lines in a moment. And back to it we go. First time caller line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello, is this me?
Yes, sir.
Hi, Art, how are you doing? First-time caller, long-time listener?
Great to have you.
I appreciate you having the line here for me to call in.
Sure.
Wanted to talk a little bit about cloning. I hope to push you more towards back on the fence a little bit. It sounds like you're heading towards the no side, and I think it's very, very important that we not fear this technology as quick as it's being vilified.
Okay, let's rock. I mean, I'm glad to offer up my worries and fears to you, and you can instead, why don't you start? Why should I be in favor of cloning?
Well, I think the term is a scientific term that has to do with the repetitive nature of growing cells.
Yeah.
And thus you can, and it goes from a variety of different issues. They've been cloning plants and looking at being able to create an entire being, especially a mammal clone. Of course it's been done with Dolly the sheep and so forth, and I'm sure, as you say, someone will probably try to do it with a human. However, the same thing can be said for almost any technology, that it can be used inappropriately, as with an individual who can take over an airplane full of gasoline and its passengers and smash it in as a weapon.
Answer this for me then, sir. What's appropriate about cloning a human being? I mean, in the case of Dolly, they had a lot of failures and a lot of monsters before they got Dolly. Now, if that's going to happen with a human being, I'd like to hear your justification for it.
Well, my justification isn't for the monsters that could be genetically created by man. I think you have to be aware that genetic monsters are created by nature on a daily basis and are born and are raised by people and animals and so forth. It's a sad fact of nature on those aspects. As far as man's manipulation of those genes, I really don't know how deeply, how far they took these fetuses. I really don't know. I don't know. I didn't hear any of
them. Well, they claim only to the multiplication of cell level. They didn't let it go. They stopped it there, they say.
And that's where they should stop it. And I think that's really the key of this technology. The nature of the way science reports its findings through peer-reviewed journals and so forth, I've always been uncomfortable with that, because it leaves for the person who really wants to dig the answers on how to do anything that someone has discovered and reported on.
Yeah, but you don't honestly believe, do you, sir, they're going to stop at that?
No, of course not.
Yeah, of course not.
But, however, I think that the important thing is there's a great example of this. It has to do with science being responsible in telling us, the public, on what they're doing in a careful way. So that people don't have the imagination that Osama bin Laden or anyone else can go out and create copies and copies and copies of themselves. It's a heck of a lot easier and a whole lot cheaper just to grab the kids out of kindergarten at the school down the street in their respective countries and put them in their armies. And that's what they will do if they want to raise an army. So from that aspect, I don't think people need to fear. From the other side of things, from how it can impact man in a positive nature.
But sir, you could clone an army. You could clone an army of the fiercest killing machines the world has ever seen. And
I
if
agree.
You don't think they're going to want to do that, then you really are kind of naive, in my opinion.
No, I'm not naive on that aspect, but I think that we're hundreds and hundreds of years away from them being able to manipulate and create the type of individual that they want to create in a clone.
I disagree.
Well, that's my opinion. And I think that the other piece of it is that we have to have expect some type of leadership from our religious and moral and ethical communities on what standards they want to create, as we talked about last night.
Do you honestly believe the Department of Defense is going to consult the clergy before they do what they're going to do?
Oh, of course they, but I still don't think the Department of Defense is going to run with things. But, let's stay off of the negative and gloom and doom sides of cloning. Let's talk about the positive sides.
Well, the positive sides are I could get a new heart, I could get a new back, I could get a new liver,
Yeah, and I think we're a lot closer
to
reality of creating those organs than we are an entire person.
The two of them are going to come together.
Oh, I agree. There's going to be convergence of that, and I think without educating the public early on, we're going to create people who are going to do this in the back rooms and also have an unreasonable fear of the technology. Eric Landers, who heads up the genetic research arm of the Whitehead Institute, a really down-to-earth guy. You ought to have him on your show one time. I watched him on Charlie Rose earlier this year. And he said we're really only about 10 to 15 years away from mapping the entire process of every human disease, which means that we will know how it's its infancy,
well, as you know,
to its completion,
the genome project itself ended years early. Even from the projections, it ended years early. That tells you how fast the technology is proceeding.
That's exactly right. And Eric also said that we're going to shoot ourselves in the foot if the scientific community doesn't come forward and explain and carefully document this technology to the public so that they're not scared of it and think that monsters are going to be created.
But monsters can be created, my friend. Listen, thanks. I'm going to leave it there. And they would be created. And the perfect soldier would be created. If you think for one second that that our Department of Defense would not step in that direction, you are naive. I'm sorry. We'd be we're going to create all kinds of perfect things, or we're going to try to. And in that process, we're going to create a lot of imperfect things. I don't know. I could still be swung, I suppose. I could be swung probably either way, depending on how the technology develops. It's just that I probably tend to see the terrible possibilities with this more than I see the benefit side of it. But I know there's a big upside. I mean, if you could get a new heart, and they could just grow a single heart that would be compatible, non-rejectable, and a brand new heart for you, and they could just grow that, and we're going to be able to do that. That's a big thing, all right. On the positive side. Oh, the pitfalls in this. The pitfalls in this are so serious. People are inclined to say, they're nothing but twins. It's no big deal. It's just like twins. It is just like twins, but then the manipulation that can occur is, your imagination, frankly, there's no bounds to it. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. I'm calling. You had a caller the other night.
Oh, you're going to have to get close to the phone and really yell at me, hon. You're not too loud.
All right. I'm in Las Vegas here.
Okay.
I'm calling about the bright light that you had a caller from California call in, Gene.
Oh, yes.
And I've been watching a light every night for several weeks that's got the bright colors shooting off of it.
Hmm.
Like to hear more about that.
Is it, you're sure you're not seeing a star?
Well, you know, well, I guess it could be a star, but I didn't know stars shot off reds and blues. And
they do.
They do.
Oh, sure.
Well, then I guess this could be a star then.
Venus will do that.
It will, huh?
Oh, it sure will. In fact, something happens with your vision. If you stare at Venus, not only does it twinkle and give off all these different colors, but it also appears to move, like up and down and left and right.
I haven't seen this one move at all.
Uh-huh.
But this is over the Sheep Mountains.
Sounds star-like. On the other hand, in Pahrump, here where I live in Pahrump,
uh-huh.
And over the hill, we've had, in your area, we've had an awful lot of sightings lately, so...
All right, well...
Something's up.
So keep an eye on it.
All right, thanks for the call and take care. What you're describing, though, sounds, you know, if it's dependably there every night, it kind of sounds like a star. East of the Rockies, you are on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art.
Hey.
I'm a law student here in Texas.
Oh, you are?
And I did a search on your name on the Westlaw database to see what come up.
Oh, yes?
Well, there are two legal things I want to talk to you. The first one is, this is kind of a funny thing. And when I did that search on your name, I came up with probably the funniest case I've ever come across regarding an actual published case. And this guy, I don't know if you remember, he claimed to be the Messiah. And he was a prison inmate, I believe, in Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah.
He sued
me, and he sued Clear Channel, and he sued everybody.
Whitley Strieber.
Hey, he even sued Israel.
Yeah, well, what's funny is...
I think Britain, he sued... He named an awful lot of people, but I was one of them.
Yeah, the Supreme Council of Ancient Scottish Rite. I mean, there's an example. But one of the interesting things he... In the alternative... If he wasn't found to be the Messiah, if the court didn't find him to be the Messiah,
yes.
He wanted other things declared, and he wanted other things to happen. It's kind of a rambling petition he sent to the court, but...
Kind of?
Well, no, it was absolutely rambling. I'd like to get it. 125 pages. I'm just don't have time to get
I
it.
I have a copy preserved somewhere. Yeah, this never got to be public, actually. It's the first time the public's hearing about it, but this prisoner, yeah, he...
One of the interesting things he wanted was, from the government, he wanted a declaration of safe passage and sanctuary for Osama bin Laden.
Mm.
And, of course, this case came down before... September 11th. That was an interesting tidbit, but some of the things that he wanted in the alternative, if the court didn't find that he was the Messiah, he wanted from the government, for example, 600 million metric tons of .995 fine gold.
Oh, yeah. You read more of it than I did.
I can give out the site for your listeners.
No. I don't allow sites to be given out, but I appreciate the call. Yeah, this caller is absolutely right. this prisoner sued me. The Clear Channel, Israel, I think Britain. It was, you know, and there were a number of other nation states named. And I never really quite got a grasp on what it was all about. But as the caller said, he did want to be declared the Messiah by the courts for something or another. People behind bars with too much time on their hands. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
Just fine.
This is Jesse calling from Medford, Oregon.
Yes, sir.
I have some information on your levitation video on your website.
It's just a photo of David Blaine. Tell me he's not floating above that sidewalk.
He's not floating. I have proof. I watched, he did a show on one of the major networks a few years back.
Yes.
And I went out to my local magic store, and they sell like coin tricks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I bought a $20 video on how to do this trick.
Well, and let's hear it. I don't care. I'll blow it. How do you do it?
I hate to let you down, but he's standing on one foot.
It's an
angle perception. I swear to you.
Let me look at it again.
Okay.
Let me see here.
I paid $20 for this video, and I was braided.
Well, I know, but there's videos that, you know.
I pulled the trick off once for some of my coworkers, and that's about all I got out of it. It's the way you angle your shot.
I don't think so.
I swear.
I'm looking at it right now, and there's enough room below his feet and between there and the sidewalk that there couldn't be anything touching. I'm looking at it now. Are you looking at it?
I've seen the video plenty of times.
Yeah.
I've seen it. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's David Blaine. He went to Las Vegas and stuff like that and did on the streets in front of people on television.
I don't know. It looks to me like he's floating. You could be absolutely right. And after all, people don't float around every day, so probably you're right. But I sure would like to interview this fella.
He's standing on one foot, I swear. It's just an angle. It's a very deceptive angle. I mean, you have to have just the right.
Look, I'm sorry, but this number one, it doesn't look like it's a pose shot because in the shot, there's some guy with a pretty fair sized belly there about to block the shot. So it doesn't look like it was really set up or anything, right?
It's not. It's just, you gotta have it just right. You stand up on one foot, just barely angled up. I pulled it off. I stunned a couple of my coworkers one day, and they thought I was the devil.
I'll take your word for it. Thank you very much for the call. Actually, I won't take your word for it. I'm sorry, but my eyes are telling me one thing, and what they're telling me is, if you all want to look at this picture, it's at artbell.com. Someone sent it in today after we talked about David Blaine. I don't really know much about David Blaine. But I'll be damned if it doesn't look like to me that he's hovering off the sidewalk. And I cannot see how you could not see one toe being down on the sidewalk. I can't see it. You can see enough underneath, it couldn't be there. Well, anyway, I guess I should have I should have David Blake on and ask him how he does this. And whether or not it's a trick. I don't know. You take a look at the photograph. You tell me what you think. On the first time caller line, you are on the air. Hello.
Yes, my name is John, and I'm from Orange County. I'm KFI.
Yes, hi, John.
Yes, I was kind of thinking on a theory of a recycling solar system, and I just wonder what you might think about it.
A recycling solar
system? Solar system, yes. I believe that the solar system may actually recycle itself, as in planets.
Well, do you mean the expansion and contraction theory, or what?
Well, what I'm thinking, I'm not familiar with that theory, but, you know, it just seems to me that Venus is like a planet that's dead through the greenhouse effect.
Well, from our point of view, it's dead. Now, there may be life that can exist on Venus that is just not based on life as it's based here.
Yes, as we know it.
Yeah.
But it just seems like, you know, what they're talking about with the global warming and everything, it just seems like that Venus could have been, you know, a living planet at one point in time.
Yeah, like, in other words, that we could end up like Venus.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of it, I guess, where they look through the clouds and take pictures of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like there have been continents there. If you look at it, it actually looks like, you know, the landmass. And if you've ever seen a picture of it, I'm sure you have. It just really looks familiar. And with all this talk about Mars...
Listen. I've got a break coming up, so let me hold you over.
Yeah,
all right?
Please.
Stay right there.
Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
Yeah, you know, I really would like to talk to David Blaine. This is a very interesting picture. Now, if he really can levitate, I should have a talk with him, shouldn't I? If, on the other hand, it's just a simple magic trick, it's just that here's this photograph. Take a look at it. It's on my website, along with the new ghost photograph from Indonesia. That's a real knockdown ghost photograph. One of the best I've ever seen. We got that one up last night. So I'd love your opinion. In the meantime, open lines continue all night long. Stay right where you are. Once again, into the night we go. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art Bell?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I just wanted to let you know that I did see David Blaine in Las Vegas.
Yes.
At the Imperial Palace on August 8th of 2000.
Yes.
And we took home video, me and my friend Paul.
All right. Did he levitate?
You know what? A lot of people panicked and were afraid.
No, I'm asking you, did he
levitate? Yes, definitely. He levitated.
Is there any way in your mind? Now, I know, I mean, the guy's a magician, right?
Well, I was very skeptical about it, okay? And he started announcing right in front of Imperial Palace that he was going to levitate. And me and my friend Paul said, well, let's go check it out. You know, I was very doubtful. I thought I was just kind of stunned.
Right.
But he did it outside, right in front of a couple thousand people.
All right. Were you close enough? This is a really critical question for me. Were you close enough to see if he was standing on one toe?
Definitely not. Nothing. There was no way.
See, that's just the way this photograph looks. I'll be damned if he's standing on a toe. I'm looking at it, and he's hovering a fair amount above the sidewalk. Now,
right.
Now, I just don't see how that can be a magic trick.
Well, we have home video of it, and I was like about 10 feet from his feet.
Right.
And me and my friend Paul were there. We had just come out of Imperial Palace. We're going to the casino, and we stopped. We happened to be right in the front. We started videotaping. And there was nothing there. There's not even no wires. No, I mean, Art, you should have seen. This was really unbelievable.
All right, well, I'm going to have to talk to him then. All right, the call goes out. I want to have David Blaine on and ask him about this. Would you enjoy that?
Oh, God, I'd be listening to you all night. I'm a big fan of yours. Me and my mom and my friend Paul, we're really, you know, we love your show. We really love your show.
All right. Done.
Let me tell you, everybody who's listening, it's true, it's real. You got to have him on your show, Art.
All right, all right.
Kidding.
All right, thank you. All right, so we want to have David Blaine on. I've been puzzling over this photograph since I saw it earlier today. Because of the talk last night, somebody sent it in, and I got it up on the website right away, got it to Keith. And I just looked at it, and I looked at it, and I looked at it, and I zoomed in on it, and it looks like an amateur photograph, I would say. You know, as I said, somebody with a pretty big front's about to get in the way of the photograph, but they're not. It's clear. And you can see this guy is hovering off the sidewalk. Now, obviously, I suppose there could be some kind of trick, but you heard what this man just said. So, I guess I'm going to have Ms. Blaine on. Ms. Blaine, if you would like to come on the radio program and explain how you do what you do, how long you've been able to do this, and, you know, tell us with your hand on a good book or something or another that you're telling us the truth. Seeing is believing. Or maybe not with a magician. But anyway, it's interesting enough that I would like to talk with him. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you do a great job, Art. We listen to you practically every night.
Thank you.
And I wanted to talk about Linda Moulton Howe's report last week.
Oh, incredible report, yes.
Just a comment about David Blaine, one thing I noticed when I've watched those programs during his levitation act, that he always seems to back himself off from his audience, the media audience. So he requires about like a 10-foot clearance from the audience before he does his levitation.
Yeah, but even so, 10 feet isn't much. You can clearly see if someone's standing on there. Look, here I am. I can stand on one toe. I can do that. Well, I get there. I'm on one toe. But I don't even look like I'm levitating. I look like I'm standing on one toe.
Well, I don't think he can actually levitate. I think it's some optical illusion of some sort. But getting back to Linda Moulton Howe's report, I was interested in listening to her report of the sunken city, 2,200 feet below the sea.
Yes.
And basically, she had talked. The interview was with
Paulina Zelinsky. Yes.
Zelinsky intrigued me, and when her husband mentioned the fact that he had information concerning the symposium in Britain regarding natural disasters, that proked my interest in checking out the chronological table in a Jerusalem Bible.
Yes, sir.
To see if there are any events that cross that particular time frame.
Right.
And if you go to Joshua chapter 10, there's a famous incident in the Old Testament there when Joshua were fighting the Amorite kings, and it's called some people note it as the long day in the Bible, when the sun didn't set. And Joshua prayed to God that they would defeat the Amorite kings, and God rained down hailstorms.
Well, all I could imagine, the sun not setting, you'd either have to be at a very high northern latitude, A, or B, the earth would shift on its axis. That's about the only way you get sun not setting.
Unless you have another event like he described, the comets hit it colliding each other and hovering over the earth.
That would appear to be a sun not setting. It'd be as bright as the sun, I suppose, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
And again, there were hailstorms that came down that defeated the enemy.
It caused them to try to go back to caves, if you read that passage in Joshua 10.
Right.
And it defeated the enemy that way. And the timing of that was in the 1200 B.C.
Yeah. Listen, I agree. I think there's a human history that the academics refuse to admit to, but is becoming, you know, almost more than obvious. All of the discoveries going on would indicate that we were around long, long, long before they tell us we were. You know, or somebody was here. I mean, there are artifacts, there's forbidden archaeology, there's evidence below our sea, below our earth. And it's generally ignored by the academics, but we're hearing so much of it, so much breaking news here on Coast to Coast AM about all of this, that I'm beginning to conclude it's almost a foregone conclusion for me now. I know that goes against a lot of the grain out there, but, you know, the evidence really is getting pretty strong. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, what's going on?
You're going on at the moment.
Hey, I have an interpretation for a dream that you put on the air.
Where are you calling from?
Ohio, actually.
Ohio, all right.
Yeah. I'll tell you the dream, and I'll tell you the interpretation.
What was my dream?
All right, your dream was... Now, here's the thing, though, is that I want to tell you something else, but I'm going to qualify it by telling you your dream and the interpretation.
Well, go ahead.
All right, the dream was you had a dream about a pope that you saw standing in a balcony over a congregation of people. And this pope held in his hand a tube of toothpaste. And depending on whether...
You're right. And he was the pope was advertising the toothpaste.
Uh-huh,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, if he went thumbs up, the people bought it. That was a hot seller. If he went thumbs down, people didn't buy it. They listened to him, and they went with something else.
Yeah, I mean, entire companies were going under in my dream because the pope would give a product a thumbs down, you know?
Exactly.
Now, that's right. Exactly. I did interpret that, or I did dream that. So your interpretation of that?
My interpretation of that is that what you saw was the pope acting in the capacity of the false prophet. If you read in Revelation, it teaches that the false prophet is going to cause the world to worship the beast. Well, to have that kind of power...
Hmm.
Whether he did a thumbs up or a thumbs down
right.
towards the Antichrist, these people would worship him because this false Christ, this false prophet is telling the people with this kind of power and authority that this is God. This is the man that you need to worship.
So you think I dreamt of the Antichrist?
I think of the false prophet.
Well, the Antichrist.
Well, right. The false prophet.
Well, the Antichrist. Same, one and the same, right?
No, they're not one and the same.
Well, but the Antichrist is a false prophet.
No, well...
Yes.
Well, no, not really. See, the false prophet is a person that's speaking on behalf of one person.
But the Antichrist...
And the Antichrist himself is speaking on behalf of himself as God.
Okay. All right, well, I've got it. I didn't think there was anything particularly biblical about my dream. I did, however, think it was a very weird dream. Now, maybe his interpretation is in some way correct or not. I wouldn't have the slightest idea. Maybe my dream was nothing more than just a dream, but I thought it was, it was in a tragic way, it was very humorous. Because I could imagine, you know, this company with whatever product they have, you know, it's like, they know their product has gone to the Vatican, right? And they know the Pope is about to come out on the balcony and hold their product and give it a thumbs up or thumbs down. Entire corporations would either rise or fall because of the Pope's thumb. That was my dream. And I remember having some involvement in it. It's like my product was going to go to the Pope, or I was involved with a product that was going to the Pope or something. Anyway... Who knows why you dream the things you dream, but there you are. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, Art, how are you?
I'm okay, sir.
Yeah, this is Killen from Alturas, California.
All right.
And I got a question about cloning.
Okay.
And what they were talking about is, you know, you take a little DNA from this man, and then you make his twin. All right, well, my question is, when you make this twin...
Uh-huh.
Does he have a soul? Because I don't believe a soul or that spirit has DNA that you can take and create it. So So if you have no DNA for a soul, then is this clone soulless?
I don't know. Of course, that's one of the things we're going to find out. Most people would say if a living human being is created, it would be inculcated with a soul. I don't know. I don't know. And nobody knows yet.
Okay, and then say they do find out that somehow they, through future generations, that this is soulless.
Yeah.
And then if they killed this clone for body parts or experiments, then is it murder?
Well, not if they were to be able to prove, I suppose, that it didn't have a soul, as a human being does, but... I guess it wouldn't matter. All of the ACLUs and all the civil rights organizations in the world would confer everything upon it anyway. So it's going to be a mess, or it's just going to be a mess if we begin to clone. You can't imagine the mess that's coming.
Well, could I ask you one more question?
Sure.
The other night, it was Wednesday night when you had that guy on about, you know, life after death.
I'm not sure who you're referring to.
Well, you know, he was talking about the energy and when we die and, you know, going to heaven.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. James von Prague.
Yes, that's him.
Yes.
I was listening to that, and right at the one time when a question was asked, I had to leave and something happened and I couldn't get back to it. And you were talking about if an axe murderer dies and... he doesn't have any remorse or regard for life. Where did he go? I didn't catch that. And if you could answer that, I'd really, you know, be happy.
All right. I'll do the best I can. What he said pretty basically was that you get what you give. You reap what you sow. When you die, you are the architect of your own hell. And if you were a remorseless axe murderer, the odds are that you were going to live in your own hell. That was kind of his answer. And you know what? I kind of buy that. I think you are the architect of your own hell or your own heaven. In the sense that you are forced to have your own life review, and then you are forced to judge yourself. And I think you're unable to be anything but a good judge. In other words, I don't think you can fudge that one. You can't beef up the resume when you're at the Pearlies. You know, it is what it is, what it is. And that's the answer he gave, and I thought it was a pretty good one. First time caller line, you're on the air.
All right, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. Where are you?
I'm in Clearwater, Florida.
All right.
It's an honor and a pleasure to speak to you.
And to you. What's up?
It's a little off the subject, but I guess that's why it's called the wild card line. But...
And it's the first, you've never called before, right?
No, sir.
Okay, well, it's the first-time caller line anyway, but it is open line, so go ahead.
Well, thank you. I got a couple incidents that happened to me while I was in New England. You might be able to shed a little bit of light on these. I've been a listener to you for about a year now, and I hear a lot of different things. I pulled off the side of the road. I was taking a ride with my fiance, and we pulled off the side of the road. I had to use the restroom, and it was in kind of a remote area near Exeter, New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
And I get out of the car, I walk up to the edge of the woods, and it was really, really dark. And as I walked up to the edge of the woods, I'm standing at the edge of the woods, and I couldn't see into the woods because the light was behind me.
So you didn't pull off at a restroom. You were headed for the woods for your doings, right?
Yeah, I was using the woods for my break.
All right.
And I walk up to the edge of the woods, and as I'm standing there, I couldn't see into the woods, but I heard a little rustling about 20 feet off.
Yeah.
And I didn't think anything of it, and I'm just standing there. And
I'll usually put you off a little bit in terms of your business.
Yeah, I all of a sudden I just heard two distinct footsteps, just a thump, thump.
Yeah, thump, thump.
And it wasn't that, it was like thump. It was a real good thud, and then all of a sudden...
Oh, you mean like...
Yeah, but it was in brush, and it was a solid thud on the ground. It was good. It was a weird sound.
By
and
now, if you're not zipping up, you're not human.
I didn't get it. Every hair on my body stood up. And I'm standing there, and as I'm standing there, I couldn't move. But all of a sudden, a couple feet over my head, I hear this this breathing sound.
Yes.
I never moved so fast in my entire life. I flew over the hood of the car into the front seat, and I had a soda sitting on the dashboard. I took off, and it flew all over my girlfriend. And then about a month later, I'm with a friend of mine who I actually rode in a bus with from Florida to New Hampshire. And Dan and I were out in the woods behind his house near a swamp, and it was frozen over, and we were stargazing. And we were looking at some of the constellations, and as we were doing so, we heard a crash in the woods across the swamp from us. And it was a really dark night. That's why we went out.
Well, I think you met up with the environmental guardian monster.
Is that what it was, Ian?
Yes, yes, yes. You were about to truly foul the environment, right?
No.
Yes, you were. You told me. No, I'm not
really. Oh, yeah, that night. Okay, yeah. This is a totally separate incident.
These are
two different incidents. The first one, I was getting ready. Well, I actually already started. I never even put it back in my pants. I jumped right in the car and took off.
Sure.
The second one.
But you've got to admit, sir, before we move on, you're going to be less likely to stop the car and walk into the woods for your business from now on, right?
I'm still notorious for doing that.
Are you really?
Yeah, I love nature. Got to be outside.
Uh-huh. Well, be careful. The Bobbit monster's out there.
The next time, Dan and I, anyways, we're standing out there, and it was in the middle of the woods in Barrington, New Hampshire, and we're in the swamp, and the next thing you know, we're standing in the woods, and across the swamp, we heard a crash into the ice, and we heard a squeal like I could actually make it almost exactly, and it freaks me out every time I hear myself do the squeal. The sound of whatever it was, and it just started coming at us.
Anything at all like that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Holy shit.
You know what that was? You know what that is, don't you? That's a real recording of a Bigfoot. That's what that is, a real recording of the Bigfoot.
No way.
You're spending too much. Yeah, there is a way. That's what it is.
No. Wait. Art.
Yes.
Is there any way you can put that audio file on your website so my wife can hear this?
You want her to hear it?
I want my wife to hear this. She's in bed right now, and she's pregnant. I don't want to wake her up, but I want her to hear this because that is exactly what I heard, man. I could make the sound for you.
No. Oh, you could make that sound?
I could make that sound almost just like you just.
Let me hear.
Let me shut this window here because I got neighbors in.
Understand? Oh, and you do have a pregnant wife.
This is what I heard, Art.
Yeah, go ahead.
It was, and I'm on a portable phone, but this is what I heard.
Well, imagine. Oh my God.
And it was coming right at us.
That's pretty disgusting.
And it was moving through the woods, through the swamp, crushing through the ice. You'd hear it splashing.
I take it you ran, sir. I'm out of time here. You ran.
We never stopped.
Yeah,
never
stopped. Good for you.
Take a ride.
Call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. The wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. And to call Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nine.
Hey, are the Raiders kicking butt this year or what? And by the way, I'm still waiting for this year's autographed calendar of the Raiders cheerleaders. I had one last year, and now it's in my archives. I need one for the balance of... Actually, I need one for next year. How about it, Raiders cheerleaders? You ought to see my calendar. I mean, you ought to see my calendar. The one they sent me. Whew. All right, open lines all night long. Stay right where you are. All right, back to the phone lines. Open lines, Friday night, Saturday morning. It's a great time, and you're a great bunch. Here we go. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Yes.
This is Sarah Jane from the Appalachian Mountains of Virginia.
Sarah Jane, how are you?
Just great. It's a thrill to talk to you. I've been a listener since 1996.
A while now.
Yeah, so I've been through a lot.
Your show. Actually, you're right. You have.
And I just love your show.
Thank you.
I just had, I just have to say that I had the best laugh the way JC and you go after each other.
JC is, he's cut from a different cloth.
Well, we just had the best laugh, and that's what, you know, I love you, I love JC, you know.
Well, you have to understand that JC is serious.
I'm not making fun of him at all.
Even though he comes off the way he does, he's absolutely serious. There are people who live their lives the way JC does.
No, and I'm not making fun of JC. I hope if you're listening, I'm not. I just said thank you, JC, for being who he is.
All right.
And that just to say that he lifted my soul up. I was going to talk about cloning, but before I do, I was saying that last caller about in the woods, sounds in the woods.
Yes.
Have you ever heard a wildcat?
Yes.
Boy, I'll tell you, being alone in the woods and hearing a wildcat.
Yeah, in the middle of that business, bad news. Bad news. Anyway, you wanted to say something about cloning?
Yes. When you brought the subject up first, I was kind of neutral on it one way or the other. Didn't have one reaction one way or the other on it. But you did bring up some good points, you know, con, and some of your speakers have given some good points on pro. But I was really appalled that should cloning come to a human being, that some people would judge this person not to have a soul. I mean, what are we to say somebody has a soul or not?
Yeah.
How do you judge such a thing?
Well, I don't know, right? Let me give you a little test, all right?
Okay.
If a clone was born and raised to young adulthood perhaps early 20s, and the person had no emotion, didn't express any emotion, happiness, sadness, jealousy, no human emotion, what would that make you think?
I don't know. There are people that...
But if this were true of all clones, what would you think?
There was something wrong with the cloning process. Whether that would indicate that, you know, didn't have a soul or not, but I was afraid even if they did show emotion, there'd be people that would say, this person doesn't have a soul, therefore there's not, you know, it's not human, doesn't have a soul.
Or how would you feel if they created a clone and then genetically modified it so that it was so far advanced that, frankly, to it, you would look like an ant, and it would have no more regard for you than you might have for an ant you would step on the sidewalk.
I'd probably run. But
these are some.
The point I was making, I don't think we're ready as a society.
Oh, I don't think so. Oh, I don't think so either.
I mean, if we try to make these judgments at this point and we're ready to condemn any living thing as being soulless and godless.
On the other hand, ready or not, here we go.
Now,
here's the final ultimate test. All right?
Okay.
How old are you?
50.
50. If you were in the hospital, dying, maybe the doctor's giving you a day or two or even a week if you're lucky, because your heart was failing, but there's this clone heart available, this perfect, absolutely guaranteed not to be rejected heart available from a clone.
Yes.
Would you accept it?
No, I would not.
You would die instead?
I would not take another life for my life. And I'm not afraid of death.
All right. Well, that's an absolutely honest answer, right?
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, then, all right. You pass. I don't know how many people would really give that answer. And you know, it's not so unrealistic, this little test I'm giving you. It's not unrealistic at all. There are, of course, a lot of deathbed conversions. They had a PSA that I really enjoyed, and I forget where I heard it running some radio station, but, you know, it was exactly that situation. The guy was dying, and he was being offered a heart. And I don't know, he was a white guy, and I can't remember, it was a heart of like a black man or an American Indian or something or another. And he was sitting there saying, oh no, 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 no. And the doctor was saying, well then, you're going to die. And there was this immediate conversion. So I don't know, when it got right down to it, I'm not sure how many people really would refuse. I mean, these are the dangers. This is life and death. It's life and death. And there's a lot of positive possible aspects to this technology, but oh my gosh, the downside. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. It's academic because we are going to proceed. You and I both know we're going to proceed. If we can do it, we're going to do it. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Hi, it's good to have you back, Art.
Thank you. Good to be back, believe me.
Yeah. And also good to hear Gabriel's horn out there, too. That was good. Actually, I want to run this by you to see what your opinion is on dreams and two people having the same dream at the same time.
Ah.
Yeah, my mother...
Do you mean by this the same dream, a shared dream?
Well, you know, I should run it by you so you can really understand the nature of it.
Okay.
My mother was sick with cancer. She was in the later stages, and... I had a dream one morning before getting up to take care of her, and I had a dream that, this was kind of weird in itself, but there was like paranormal effects in the house going on. I thought it was awake, and the furniture was floating, all this other weird stuff, and I went down to her room, and she was laying in bed, and there was like a shelf on the wall that fell as all this paranormal activity was going on. It fell down and it hit her head and it knocked her out. And I was standing over her by her bed and I was yelling, you know, Mom, Mom.
Right. Right.
And I was yelling louder and louder to see if she would come too. And
sure.
She did come too. And right about then, I guess I woke up at that point and I looked over at the clock and it was 7:30 in the morning. And I, you know, brushed my eyes away and I got up and I went and got her breakfast and I brought it into her. And as I did, she said, what are you doing? She was all confused, and I said, well, I'm bringing you breakfast. She goes, you were just standing here a minute ago. I said, no, I haven't been in here yet. And she went, but you were standing there, and you were saying, Mom, Mom, Mom. And I got irritated, and I yelled, what? And she said that woke her up when she said, what? And at that time, that's when she looked at me. She said, oh, I must have been having a dream. And I asked her, what time was that? And she said, that was about 7:30. It was about around that time.
Well, I'll give you my best guess.
Yeah, what?
I think you probably had an out-of-body experience.
Yeah, and I wonder, because with the dream of all the other paranormal phenomena going on in the dream, it's kind of strange.
Well, that's my best guess,
yeah.
That you were out of your body because it was shared. Of course, it could have been, I suppose, a shared dream, but it really sounds... easier explanation is you were out of body.
Does that suggest that maybe that dreams are kind of like a gateway to experiences that we don't normally have when we're conscious?
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah. You're in a very different state then.
Right.
So, but that's my best guess. Okay. Could have been a shared dream, but I think you probably were out of your body.
Okay, all right. Well, I appreciate it, Art.
All right, take care. Mm-hmm. And travel well. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Scott calling from Monroe,
yes,
Louisiana.
Sir. Yes, sir.
And I want to talk to you about cloning, but first I want to ask you about something I hadn't heard about in a long time, and that's there was a tunnel that led from the Big Pyramid to the Sphinx, supposedly leading to the Hall of Records.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Oh, well, yes, of course.
Well, whatever came of that, do you know?
Yeah, they still firmly believe, from all the testing they've done, that it is there. But the Egyptian authorities are not presently, or either that or they're just now presently, allowing some drilling or digs to take place. They were very much against the exploration, but almost everybody who's looked at it believes it's there.
Yeah, I've seen pictures and or the sonograms and seen stuff like that, and it's just really weird, especially what Edgar Cayce had to say about the chamber under there. And
what do you think we would find if, in fact, there was a Hall of Records and we got to it? What do you think would be there? What kind of records? What would we find out?
I think that we would be really, really amazed. I think that it might be something really even beyond our own technology today. Like you said, there's no way today to move those stones. There's just no way.
Right. I think the power of that secret would be there along with a lot more.
I agree. I think that they might even have some kind of, sort of like a time capsule, saying this is us, this is why we built them.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we put them right here, because everything, I've seen the stories about how it's everything's true north and it has pi in it before pi was supposed to be available.
Oh, you can go on and on and on.
On and on, right.
Sure.
But I think that I just can't wait if they reveal it. If they reveal it. I don't know if they will. But...
Well, there's another unfortunate school of thought, and that is that unfortunately modern people have already been there, and the secrets and the important stuff have been taken away and are now being secured by secret societies.
That wouldn't surprise me at all. No.
Yeah, it really wouldn't surprise me either.
Getting back to this cloning, though, there's an aspect of this cloning that most of us haven't even considered yet, and I want to run it by you.
Sure.
And it's if we are successful at creating clones, and if it becomes legal to own clones, even if they're only capable of menial work such as washing dishes or making your bed or whatever,
right.
We must assume that they will be capable eventually of reproduction. And if we assume that these clones have no soul, then we must also assume that their offspring will have no soul. But we as Americans also must grant them the benefit of the doubt and assign rights to these clones so that we won't be just creating just a race of slaves. But these clones must also be differentiated from the humans, so perhaps they'll be engineered with a certain visible defect, perhaps a birthmark on the arm or forehead, so that we'll be able
mark,
to...
A mark. Would you, if you could have one of these relatively brainless, hard-working, virtual slaves, and you could buy one, would you?
I think I'd wait for the robots. I'd feel much more comfortable with a machine.
But a robot is never going to be, well, I shouldn't say never, but certainly in the foreseeable future, it's never going to get close to what would be near human function. No way.
I personally would not. It would be too weird for me. I mean, I don't think that first of all, I don't think that they would make a clone that was just stupid. I mean,
but all the tough labor of life that nobody likes, all the rat jobs, the bum jobs, the clones could do those, and they wouldn't mind because they wouldn't think about it.
Yeah, but that's not the point. We would mind. There would be too many of us that would mind, and we wouldn't allow it to go very far. We'd say, okay, if you're going to create clones...
Well, you might not buy one, but how many people do you think would turn it down, and how many people do you think would buy it?
That's the scary number.
quite a few, probably, huh?
Probably so, yes. Mm. But I was just wondering, you know, with, about the reproduction and all that stuff. I mean, how long before all the religious people come out and say, well, you know, here's a bunch of soulless human-like creatures carrying the mark of the beast. You know, and that's not a sign of the quickening, and I don't know what it is. So.
And the really frightening thing is that with what they have just done, all of this is now really within reach. I mean, the things we're talking about could be in the rather immediate future.
How soon do you think?
Our lifetimes.
You think?
Yeah. Yeah, I think probably in some very quiet labs, it's already going on now. May have already gone on.
Yeah.
That's how fast it's moving, so.
Well, I appreciate it, Art.
I appreciate the call. Thank you. We're going to have the opportunity, I guess, if we wanted to play God. But we all might remember the lesson of the Nephilim, right? If we were to begin creating these beings for our pleasure and our leisure, we might well remember the Nephilim. I'm not saying there's a direct correlation, but there might be. And if there is a God looking down, that might be the final straw. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art, this is Kurt in Grover Beach.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Okay.
Curious, why the David Blaine photograph on a website?
Well, because someone sent it to me, and I looked at it, and I said, wow, he's levitating. Well, that's why. It blew me away. I can't see where he's standing on a toe. Can you?
Well, this particular, I'm a magician myself, and this particular subject has been covered extensively since the show aired, which was, I think, a couple of years ago.
Well?
And essentially, you know, I'm not going to give any secrets away here, but what he was doing is called the Balducci levitation, and in person, I assure you, it does not look like that. That particular shot, which is the only shot that you actually see of the levitation being performed by him on that show, was rigged.
This isn't on a show. This is on a sidewalk. The shot I've got is on a sidewalk.
No, correct. But that particular image was taken from the show that was aired on ABC.
Okay, well, whatever.
So anyway, the point being is that...
I'll tell you what. Listen to me. The point being, after the break, if you can hold on.
Sure.
All right, hold on. Hold on to what you're saying.
I've been drifting on a sea of heartbreak, trying to get myself ashore for so long.
I just want to talk to David Blaine. You know,
for so long.
It just looks to me like he's levitating. Maybe it's a trick.
Listen to the strangest stories, wondering where it all went wrong for so long.
To be nobody's fool. Oh, oh,
York Bell in the Kingdom of Nye. From west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may recharge at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To recharge on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903.
He thinks he's a lonely boy now. Just let mom and dad send in the clothes. It's a weird time we're about to enter. It is.
Would you like to feel 10 years younger in 10 weeks? Now there's proof. The effects of aging can be slowed down and even reversed with HGH, human growth hormone. For some time now, you've heard me talk about the incredible age-reversing benefits of HGH. Well, according to thousands of articles, higher HGH levels can help you look and feel younger. That's why I take Ultimate HGH, a natural formula to help boost my body's own production of HGH. If your goal is to help improve energy, stamina, lose unwanted fat, diminish wrinkles, enhance memory, immune function, and vision, then Ultimate HGH is for you too. Why let Mother Nature get the best of you? Call today and order Ultimate HGH. And when you order two bottles of Ultimate HGH, you get the third absolutely free, about $33 a month. Now that's a tremendous savings off the typical $100 a month for comparable products. Plus, with your order, you'll receive a free book on HGH, a $20 value, absolutely free. So, call my good friends at Great American Products and order Ultimate HGH today at 1-800-557-4627. That's 1-800-557-4627. 1-800-557-4627.
He sounds like somebody from the legal department, doesn't he? All right, back to my caller. You're back on the air, sir.
How you doing?
Go ahead.
Well, anyway, I guess my point was to just enlighten you a little bit on what exactly occurred there, and that is that the show that they taped, David performed that levitation in front of a whole bunch of people. They showed a bunch of different clips of people reacting.
Right.
But they only showed him do the levitation once.
Okay.
And that is from the shot that you see on the show.
Okay.
What it is the actual levitation he's doing does not look like that in person. They did an enhanced rigged shot for the purpose of the show. And to this day, everyone kind of wonders why he did that.
Well, okay, here's what I'd offer up. I had a caller a little while ago who said he was there and saw this when it happened. And he was 10 feet away from the guy's legs.
Right. That's true. Well, I actually do this myself. I perform this levitation. In fact, I'm actually considering doing a quick time little video for you of myself doing it, and I can email it to you.
Do it.
I will.
Do it. And if it's good, I'll put it up.
And you'll be able to see what it actually looks like from...
Am I going to see your toe somehow touching the ground?
It is a very, very good illusion. It is a perfect illusion. But it's all about the psychological setup. There's I'd say 80% of it is about what is said to the individual who's about to see it prior to doing it.
No, see, I can't buy that because I...
But, sir,
I looked at this photograph with nobody telling me...
Correct. Yes. You are correct. Regarding that photo, you are correct, but that is because that photo, again, was coming from a rigged situation. And again,
how do you rig walking on water? How do you rig being in midair?
Well, in this particular shot that you're looking at on your website,
yes,
there is a fulcrum that was set up that's going around his waist under his shirt, going forward, past, beyond him to a point of the sidewalk that you cannot see, and a counterweight that is lifting him. Either that or it is cables that were lifting him. Whatever.
All right. Now, see, look, I appreciate your call, but you sort of gave yourself away. You don't really know. You're imagining it's got to be this or it's got to be that. There's got to be something out in front of him or there's got to be wires hanging or something or another. You don't really know. You're just imagining because you have no explanation for it, and I don't either. That's my point. I would like to talk to Mr. Blaine. Oh, this is an ABC picture. You see, it says ABC there. I hope they're not upset with us. I just noticed it says ABC. Bill Lahr sent this to us. Well, I suppose you better go look at it before ABC jumps down our throat and says we're not supposed to put it up. Well, you know, he looks like he's in midair. I would like to talk to him. That's all. I don't... But of course, that's the object of magic, isn't it? A magician's magic that you're not supposed to know how he does it. But, I mean, right, this is, right? It's okay, out of the sidewalk. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, good morning, Art. My name is Bridget, and I'm calling from Niagara Falls, New York.
Oh, the honeymoon capital.
Yes, happy December 1st and healthy December 1st and all of that to you and all of your listeners.
Thank you.
I have a thought that I'd like to share with you in the imagination about cloning.
Okay.
I know that you're a very imaginative avant-garde person, and you can imagine souls waiting for humans to become so that they can come to Earth and experience being human beings.
That would be the guff.
The guff?
Yeah, they call
and
it.
And I wonder, I'd like to ask you, is it possible to imagine souls waiting for clones to become so that they can have the experience?
Sure.
I
can imagine souls swimming around and wherever they swim around and like a bunch of guppies just waiting for
all kinds of things.
Sure.
Thank you. I wanted your thoughts on that because...
Oh, you're very welcome.
It
could work out that way. It could be that a clone engineered by a human being would simply be a receptacle for a soul. Yeah, sure, it could be.
Of a certain sort.
The problem, though, is we don't know, do we?
No. I'm using my imagination, and I wonder if that's possible in your imagination.
Oh, of course. Oh, I can easily imagine that, yes.
Yeah, there may be souls who are waiting for that.
Could be. All right. Yeah, there could be a whole pool of souls that are ready to inculcate themselves into human clones, and it may be that we are supposed to clone. It may be that we are supposed to become the masters of our own design. Maybe. I mean, I can look at that aspect of it, and I can agree with the lady and say maybe it is meant to be. If God will allow us to do it, then perhaps we should be allowed to do it. Or maybe not. It could be a big maybe not. But yeah, it could go either way, sure. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hi.
This is Mike in Seattle.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, I read an article on David Blaine, right? And
okay.
Before all this got kicked off, he walked in and talked to the executives of ABC. They gave him a $1 million contract on the spot.
They did?
So he's not just pulling rabbits out of the hat. All right, he must have done something pretty spectacular to get that kind of money.
Yeah, if you could go into like an ABC executive's office, you know, with a bunch of the big wigs sitting around smoking their cigars, if you can still do that these days, and if he levitated on off the floor for them, I can imagine them writing a $1 million contract right on the spot.
Now, I was wondering, if you get to talk to him, can you be in the same room as him when this goes down? Or are you in, like...
Well, this is radio.
There's no way to get him up to where you're at, then?
Well, there's always ways to do everything. I don't know. If I were to see somebody actually levitate in front of me, I'd probably lose my cookies. I mean, wouldn't you?
Yes.
So,
I saw the guy on TV. He has more than one TV show.
I mean, here I've got the photograph. I think it's interesting enough that I would like to have him on. And I've already given him $1 million in publicity tonight. But, you know, maybe he deserves it. I mean, if he really can do this, what can I say? I'd like to ask him about it. Wouldn't that be an interesting interview?
Yes, he's done more than one special, so I've seen him do it more than once, and there's people, they pan the camera from the people right to him, and it's happening. It's not like they're splitting up the segments.
Well,
it's all one even flow.
Okay, well, that's my point.
All right.
Yeah, very interesting. Thank you very much. Yeah, the photograph. I hope ABC doesn't yell at us. They probably won't. I mean, it's good publicity, right? Look at this photograph. How to look at the photograph. Everybody, I can't see the photograph. Go to artbill.com. What's new? And the first item there is David Blaine levitation photo. The second item is the beginning of the orb collection, people sending orb photographs. And the third is ghost in Indonesia. And the ghost in Indonesia, oh, my, my, my. It's got to be one of the top 1% ghost photographs we've ever received. I reject, as I said last night, about 99.9% of them, and send on to Keith the ones that I consider to be particularly interesting. Some just fairly interesting. This one, high interest. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Yes, sir.
This is John from Goodland, Minnesota.
Hi, John.
What's really not a speculation or an illusion is the change in the weather that's really been frightening me. I'm a hunter up here in northern Minnesota, and I'm 52 years old, and I've been watching the weather pretty closely for a number of decades now.
It is changing.
In November, the high is normally about 36 degrees, and the low is about 15, 16 degrees or so. And
right.
What we normally do is shoot a deer and hang it up in a tree, and when we get around to it, we'll cut it up, you know, 3 days later or who knows when. But the first half of November up here was 50 and 60 degree temperatures for the first full half of November.
Right.
And it was just frightening. And it keeps sparking off thoughts in my mind, you know, my mind when I remember the people you've had on, like Ed Dames, he's mentioned the word ice age. You know, what goes up must come down. And also the coming global superstorm, of course, and the Master of the Key has talked about that. And then, you know, I was looking at Sean Morton the last time he was on, and I was kind of in the hospital. My wife was having a baby, and I was running in between rooms here trying to catch you, you know. But anyway, Sean Morton.
Trying to catch my show?
Yeah.
While your wife's having a baby in the hospital?
Well, yeah. I found a room. I couldn't pick it up except for one doorway in this one hospital.
I appreciate the devotion, but that's really pushing it.
Well, it was light labor at the time, so anyway. But the thing about Sean Morton, though, is he affirmed the coming global superstorm at one point that I heard talking about that there was a military report saying nuclear testing has thrown the Earth's rotation off a bit and it's going to precipitate a pole shift about 2012.
Many believe that, yes. That would also account for the end of the Mayan calendar.
That's pretty much what I caught from that. But he was affirming that whole scenario, too.
Yeah, anybody who thinks the weather isn't changing is out of their mind. We're slowly boiling frogs here. The weather's obviously changing. In fact, I think it's such a done deal that we should begin imagining how we're going to shift the farming to account for it. And that process should begin now. You know, that'll prevent a lot of starvation. The weather is changing, so we have to change with it. But I think the argument about whether or not it is changing is over. It is. Global warming is occurring. A cycle is changing. Whether you want to believe it a natural cycle or you want to believe man's hand in there sort of pushing it along a little bit, either way, it's a done deal. It's a fact. So we should begin dealing with how we're going to modify what we do to maintain our good lifestyle. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I'm talking to Art.
And that would be me.
Okay. This is Patrick and Kingman. I would like to add a little bit to the program and just confirming that there are a lot of people around that do believe in spiritual abilities such as levitation, disappear here, reappear there, as in dematerialization and rematerialization and levitating objects and even causing objects to disappear and reappear, et cetera, et cetera.
It's just that usually there's no real solid proof for it. That's the problem. I understand there are a lot of people who believe in it, but there's very little except anecdotal evidence. Now, getting a photograph of somebody doing it, well, you know, that's a little movement away from anecdotal evidence toward, more like toward, oh my God, look at that. Whew, that is some photograph. It really is. Yeah, I've got to talk to him. I've really got to talk to him. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
This is Art Bell?
Yes.
I got a question.
No. Turn your radio off.
Oh, geez, sorry about that. Hold on a second.
All right. Holding while she does it. We bring you on the air right away, you know, so you've got to have that radio nearby to turn it off quickly.
You there?
It's called Radio on the Fly. Yes, I'm here. Go ahead.
Sorry about that. I got a question for you. You know, ever since the recent capturing of the cities in Afghanistan,
yes.
I'm a little bit off the topics.
There is no topic.
Well, that's debatable. All of a sudden, we've noticed that the focus has kind of shifted from the capture of bin Laden. Nobody seems to be talking, well, the media especially, are not talking that much about the capture of bin Laden. I just wanted to get your comments on that, and I was wondering what you thought of that.
Well, I think if they don't get bin Laden, it's not going to be considered a success. They either have to get his dead body or him, one way or the other, or there will be complaints forever and ever about this whole thing. So they'll get him.
Well, okay, another question.
Sure.
If they get bin Laden, and we, a lot of people will may or may not agree, it's not going to be the end of that. And the Al-Qaeda obviously, well, not obviously, but in my opinion, has networks all over, including the United States.
Our government firmly believes that. You're absolutely right, yes.
So, I mean, why do you think our government is so hip on just getting bin Laden when they should be...
Well, I think it's a good beginning, because I think they believe that he ordered the attacks on September 11th, sir, and so I think there's good reason to get bastard and do whatever.
Okay.
All right, now that doesn't mean it's going to be the end of terrorism, and they're saying that. You know, they're being pretty frank about that. It's not going to be the end of terrorism. But if this guy ordered that, then I hope he goes straight to hell.
Yeah, well, so do I. One last question. Here it is. Now, I understand that a lot of the abortion clinics were getting messages and... not just messages, but mail, threat mail, about, what was it? The big scare, the anthrax. Now, all right.
I haven't heard that at all.
Well,
the abortion clinics get threats and bombs go off and get burned down all the time, but not anything to do with the 9/11 stuff.
Well, exactly. I'm talking like 96, 97.
Yeah, okay.
They got stuff in the mail about anthrax and stuff, and of course, nobody really responded too much about that. And
well, for one thing, sir, nothing ever happened. I don't see the connection between the two. Nothing ever happened. As far as I know, there was never any anthrax sent to any abortion clinic. It was usually pretty crude stuff, you know, burn it down, blow it up. That's what they were doing. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
How you doing, Art?
All right. Where are you?
I'm actually in Canada, Edmonton, Alberta. We got about 1.5 feet of snow tonight.
Really?
You betcha.
Okay.
We want to talk about cloning real quick.
Sure.
And I know it's your show, and I want you to do the talking. Just thought I'd throw you a wave for an idea.
Well,
I know your fellow boat rocker.
A clone could be instructed to shovel snow, you know, 12 hours a day.
Well, that's what kids are for. We just pass on 21 chromosomes apiece.
Those kind of clones. Oh, yeah, okay.
I really like the imagination that the lady earlier, a few minutes ago, had.
Well, she's right.
She is.
But it could go either way.
Well, I got a curveball to carry on from her idea.
Okay.
Which would be, you know, we are a bit of an arrogant species, first of all. And I just want to know what you think about this idea that maybe there could be souls waiting for bodies that just might be clones.
Yeah.
But what if we scientifically proved that everybody's born with a soul... so that it doesn't come from somewhere else. It's a, you know, a physiological thing. There are stranger things that have happened. So that none of us really have souls. It's a metaphysical or physical thing that exists in our body already. And,
What if we proved nobody has any souls?
Well, that's part of the point. The other point is, maybe we are clones.
Yeah.
You ever think of that?
Well, sure, I've thought of it. You know, relatives of the Anunnaki?
Well, I don't have to convince you that there's other life in the universe.
That we're all gold diggers, relatives of gold diggers, right?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, we get a little comfy in our idea of what is reality.
Yeah, I always thought there was something to that. I mean, that we were bred to dig gold. The Anunnaki bred us to dig gold. Now, what's the foundation for that? Nothing solid, but consider the human reaction to gold. You know what they call gold fever? It'll happen to you. Try it sometime. To hold some solid gold in your hand. I don't care whether it's a solid gold coin or it's a solid gold nugget. Hold it in your hand, and a weird feeling will come over you. A little bit of that gold fever.
Ain't got no trouble in my life.
It'll come over you in a wave.
No foolish dream to make me cry.
Humans have got something about gold.
Never frightened or worried. I know I always get by. I hear
Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
My website has rotating front pages. You know, you get a new picture almost every time you click. And I just happened to click on it this time, and it shows a simulation of human DNA, the human DNA strand. It says Art Bell at the top, then at the bottom, over the DNA strand, it says, "Wanna take a ride?" Oh, my God. Think about that. That's going to be a ride, all right. It's going to be a ride for the whole human race. Strange times ahead, folks. No thunder before it's time. All right, back to the lines. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
This is Paul in District Heights, Maryland.
Hi, Paul.
I've been listening to your program since Hale Bopp came by.
That was a while ago.
And you've had some great guests on.
Yes.
But one of my favorites is Dr. David Jacobs.
Oh, well, me too.
And I've read his book, The Threat.
Yeah.
And I've read it twice, actually.
Well, I happen to agree with Dr. Jacobs. I know there are a lot of people out there who think these visitors inevitably are going to be advanced, spiritually pure, wonderful creatures who are going to lead us into the golden age. However, I don't think so. I think there's every possibility they could have ill intentions. And all of history on Earth proves that. Every culture we've touched, we've polluted, and we're ruined. So why would we think that our culture being touched would be such a good thing?
Yeah, and he's very... Well, he's very serious. Anyone who's read his book, he's very scared about this phenomenon of abduction and what it means.
Yes.
And so I'd like to, well, anything that the public, I think it's something to be taken seriously. Betty and Barney Hill seem to be a serious people, you know.
I talked to Betty Hill about a month ago.
Oh.
And I'm eventually going to have Betty on. She doesn't stay up late. She'd really like to tell her story on the show, and I'd really like to have her do it. So I keep checking back with her, and she's a really nice lady, and she really wants to come on. It's just a matter of staying up.
That would be great.
Yep.
That would be fantastic.
Yep, yep. She's
also,
out there.
Also, Robert Ghostwolf is another great guest.
Yes, sir.
And I haven't heard him for a while.
It has been a while, hasn't it?
But thank you for a fascinating show, Art.
And thank you for your call. Take care. Yeah, Betty Hill is a very, very nice lady, and we've had quite a few talks. I guess I've never told you about this, but she just doesn't. There are people, you know, who don't keep these hours that we keep, and to ask them to come on the air, she just had some a recent surgery, and you know, she's a day person. And it's kind of tough to stay up, but I'll talk her into it one of these nights. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, Art, how are you tonight?
Okay.
Okay, we're all talking about cloning tonight, so the question is, they say that the clones won't have a soul, but if you have a male clone and a female clone breed, will they create a soul with the baby?
These are questions that we have no answer to. My guess is that if we successfully, and that's a really big if, successfully cloned human beings, I kind of think they would have souls, or we would think they have souls, because they would appear to be as you and me.
Yeah, but they say, well, let's use them for spare parts. Well, isn't that like opening the Pandora's box?
Well, you know, the spare parts argument would have to include genetic manipulation. In other words, you would create a being with all the physical proper parts in the right place except for the brain. There'd virtually be probably nothing but a brain stem there, you know, not a full brain. And so they would make the argument that this person would be ideal for organ donation.
Or for a super soldier?
Or for a super soldier. Yeah, I mean, there's lots of dark areas in cloning. And,
By the way, this is Charles. I'm driving across Oklahoma listening to you on 1200 WOAI.
Oh, yes.
Okay. The second question is, well, there hasn't been that many UFO sightings. Do you think they're just sitting back and seeing what's going to happen with what happened on 9/11?
You're actually wrong about the UFO sightings. And we kind of talked a little bit about this last night. There's been a lot of UFO sightings. In fact, right here in Pahrump, Nevada, where I am, there have been many, many recent UFO sightings. It's just that since 9/11, nothing else has been in the news save this program. And even we devoted a very great deal of time, of course, after 9/11 to the whole thing. And continue to some degree. But it's, you know, it wiped everything off the news. Everything. And as I explained last night, UFO stories, even big ones, tend to be not the lead items on newscasts. Right? In fact, a lot of times they're kickers. So, you know, UFOs have been wiped so far off the news slate that you just don't hear about them. But trust me when I tell you, the reports have not diminished. In fact, perhaps the contrary. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Oh, yes. Pleasant good morning to you from Oklahoma.
Oklahoma again, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, I was wanting to talk to you and maybe let your listeners know a little bit about some rare occurrences in the night sky coming up this month.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, earlier, a lot of people may have missed it. They may have seen it. The moon occulted or passed in front of Saturn. It was earlier in the evening. This is going to happen again if those people get out there, and if they don't already have a telescope from Hardin Optical, they get one for Christmas, December 28th. It will happen again.
Oh, now that is fortunate timing. I mean, if one were to find a telescope under their Christmas tree, or perhaps in the case of the Hardin scope supporting the Christmas tree, they would have 3 days later a rare opportunity, wouldn't they?
Oh, yes, and the moon won't quite be full, so Saturn will slip behind the moon rings first, and you watch it in a telescope. It's a spectacular sight because the rings just slowly disappear, then the planet, then the rest of the rings.
Yes.
December 14th, of course, the night of the 13th, 14th, is the Geminid meteor shower, which they're known for their fireballs. Not that many, you know, maybe 35, 40 if you're out in a real dark area.
Yeah, but fireballs are really cool.
Oh, they are. Yep. They are. And then on the evening, or the, towards sunset of the 14th, your listeners on the East Coast is going to see a partial solar eclipse as the sun sets. Of course, the sun will be higher as you get west, but there will be a partial solar eclipse. Depending how far north you live, it'll be better the further south the listeners are.
Up to about what percent, do you know?
Okay, in your area, it's going to probably run around 20%.
Uh-huh.
As you get up towards Canada, I think the northern limit, it's just over the border into Canada. Probably down around, say, for northern Montana and the Dakotas, 10%.
Well,
here in Oklahoma, it'll run about 30%.
Well, that's a pretty good lineup of events on the way.
It is.
I'll tell you what I've always noticed about solar eclipses. You would think partials, or even very good partials, would only sort of look like dusk coming on. But to me, a pretty good solar eclipse has always looked like the air has suddenly become thin.
Yes.
That's the only way I can describe it. Like, it's not like sunset. It's like the air gets thin. It's weird.
You will notice it if a person who's used to being out in the sunlight will notice that. Just like I think it's on, December 30th, 2 weeks later, we're going to have a lunar eclipse, but it'll be what they call a penumbral, which means that the moon is only going to be in the partial shadow of the Earth. And people who's not used to looking at the moon will never notice it. It just dims a little.
Did you hear about NASA's plan to move Earth?
Yeah.
You did?
I don't think that's such a wise idea.
As a possible way to handle global warming, NASA actually is proposing moving the Earth further away from the sun. Now, try and imagine that for a moment. Assuming they could do it. Maybe they can. Assuming they could do it, that's exactly what would occur. The sun, as we moved our planet, God, what a weird thing, the sun would begin to get smaller and smaller. The air would get thinner and thinner looking. It would be really weird. And their idea is to move the Earth away from the sun for a period of time to adjust the climate, reduce global warming, and then when the cycle reversed, they would move the planet back toward the sun. Now, I don't know why, but I have this feeling that it's the old nothing can go wrong scenario. And they would begin moving the Earth either away from the sun or then later closer to the sun, and something would go tragically wrong. But imagine what it would be like to wake up every day and see yourself farther from the sun because the whole Earth was moving. NASA has seriously proposed this. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is Bill in San Jose.
Hi, Bill.
How you doing? I got a take on that NASA moving the Earth. Were they going to tell everybody to lean left so we'll shift our orbit? Move it back, have everybody lean right?
Actually, if I recall properly, the plan is to get a gigantic rock headed toward the Earth, and it wouldn't actually hit the Earth. NASA would arrange to have it just graze our atmosphere.
Oh,
in order to nudge us out of our present orbit and move us a little bit further away from the sun.
And these are the same people that can't send a small little probe to Mars to take some pictures. You'll let them throw a big, massive rock at us.
It would be the same people.
Okay, I had a new take on the cloning project. Now, let's say, you know, the FBI, they have say, that hunk of hair we're talking about for cloning. Now, what if they had evidence on a crime scene of DNA, but they don't have any idea what the person looks like? Couldn't they use that to clone the person to know what they look like?
Sure, I guess so.
You
get a sample of the DNA
on the crime scene of this murderer that killed X amount of people. They don't know what he looks like, but they have his DNA. Couldn't they make a copy of him so they know what he looks like, so they know who they're going after?
Okay, now the fly, the possible fly in that ointment would be that you would now have an exact clone of this serial killer. Let's say
this is true,
axe murderer, whatever. And while you might then find out who he is, you would now have copy number two on your hands.
But even though it will be an equal copy, will it still have the same bad traits?
Well, a pretty good chance it would, since it's an exact clone.
Will it have a brain, though? We were talking about just a brain stem. So it would just be, say, just a shell.
Oh, I see.
But we got our fingerprints from it. We got our pictures. We have it. We got the criminal.
Huh.
That's just a new take on it.
So we would grow a brainless exact copy in order to identify precisely who. That's really...
Yep, fingerprints, photographs, everything.
Well, all right. Thank you very much. You have really helped me make my case. Does that sound like a horror show or what? Even though it would catch a criminal eventually. Does that sound like some kind of horror show? To grow a brainless copy of a serial killer so you could ID the serial killer. Do we really want to begin creating human life for these kinds of purposes? Well, it's going to be possible. And unfortunately, if it's possible, we'll probably do it. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hey, Art, how you doing?
All right, where are you?
This is Joe from the Midwest.
Yes, sir.
And I was just waiting to hear about Dean Kamen's new invention he's got.
Oh, well, the big announcement is coming Monday by Diane Sawyer, I am told.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear that.
What do you think it is?
I'm not for sure.
What would you like it to be?
Some kind of new engine type that produces power.
Yeah. I'm personally going for an anti-gravity personal transport vehicle.
Yeah.
That's what I'd like.
Yeah, I know this inventor. He's working on this bladeless turbine engine.
Yes.
And he's got it working at a major power producer right now. And they're supposed to make electricity at like a tenth the cost of what electricity is being produced at now.
You know, earlier today I was talking with a friend about something, and I would like to drop this on all of you, and I know it's probably a stupid idea. But there are these new wind turbines, only they're not turbines, they're like tunnels. You will see them soon. It's a cutting-edge technology, and they're like tunnels. And I was thinking, if you have something that will produce power that is a virtual tunnel, then why not mount something like that on an automobile? Now, how are we going with automobiles? We're getting to these hybrids, right? Half electric, half gas. Well, if a car is going down the road at 60, 55 or 60 or whatever miles per hour, and you were to insert one of these tunnel devices somehow on the car or in the car, or it would be going through the car, or I don't know what, and there's not as much drag as is associated with traditional turbines, wouldn't it be a natural form of generated energy? Not free energy, mind you, but something that would generate rather significant amounts of electricity as the car went down the road and the wind went through this tunnel-like turbine. It was just something that we kind of chewed around, a friend and I, a little bit earlier, and I thought about that. Why not, if they really have these special tunnel turbine things, put one on a car that's going down the road pretty fast anyway? Not free energy. but it sure would cut down on the amount of power you needed, right? There's probably a big hole in that idea. I have no idea what it is, but there's an idea for you.
East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903.
I love a song with a message. Good morning, everybody. This is Open Lines, Friday night, Saturday morning. Anything you want to say or talk about is fair game. And when I say open lines, I really mean open lines. Hey, Keith, if you're listening out there, this is one freaky photo on the website. It really is. I am so wrapped up in this whole cloning thing. This is one strange picture. Pretty cool picture, actually. Somebody took it. It looks like Eminem stuck to a thing that looks like... Anyway, the whole thing looks like human DNA. And it just says, want to take a ride. If you can freeze that picture for about 24 hours so everybody can see it. Maybe I'm asking too much. It's really freaky. I don't know why. I've just been giving so much thought to it. I thought, I'm sitting here thinking, what a ride this is going to be. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello.
You are there. Good.
How's it going?
It's going.
Hey, I want to talk about gun control a little bit.
Really? What kind of control?
Well, I'm going down tomorrow to purchase a handgun.
Well, then, so then your control is holding it steadily.
Well, the deal is there's a 10-day waiting period, and there is a background check, which is in a 10-day period.
Right.
But, and I have to pay $20 to the state.
Yeah.
To let them say, okay, you can handle a handgun.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that good? Is that bad?
I think it's probably good. In other words, you're paying for the check. And I suppose... Yeah, I think on balance it's good. I think that you should have the right to get a gun. You know, if you're not a felon or whatever the other reasons are.
that you should be able to get a gun, but I don't think criminals ought to be able to get guns.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree completely, but...
So how do they decide just, whether or not you're a criminal?
Well, by the background check, I would assume.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
But it just, you know, you look at the amendments and what have you, there was no, well, you have to go in and give the state some money and...
Yeah, I know, but I still think it's a small bitch. You know, really... I want to protect our right to have guns, but I really don't want bad people to have guns. If we can keep them out of their hands, then it's probably worth the $20 or whatever.
Well, then, you know, you go back to the three-day deal, gun fair. Well, what is that keeping out of anybody's hands?
Well, so why aren't you going to a gun fair and buying a gun there?
You know what? I don't know why I'm not.
Well, I don't either.
Because I'm just a law-abiding citizen, and I'm going to go down and get a gun.
Well, you can, as a law-abiding citizen, you can go to a gun fair and get one, too.
I still have to do the 10-day waiting deal, though, don't I?
I don't know. I've heard that you don't.
I don't?
Well, I don't know that for sure, but that's what I've heard. I mean, people complain that you can go to a gun fair, and, of course, you can buy, you know, I mean, you can look in the newspaper, and somebody advertise, you can go buy a gun privately. No waiting period there. Right?
True. Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, you do have options, but if you want to go, if you want to contribute, it seems to me, to a safer environment, then you will go through the background check. You know, you can buy guns underground. There's always that option, too, but why not contribute to a safe environment? A safer environment. It's never going to be safe, but safer. If we keep hundreds of thousands of guns out of hands of bad people, then that's a good thing. I don't see it as a really serious infringement on your right to possess a weapon. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes, Art. Jim at Mobile, WNTM News Talk.
Yes, sir.
I started dialing in a previous life. I wanted to talk to you about David Blaine.
Okay.
The difference with David Blaine is that he's strictly a street magician. He never performs before a huge audience.
Okay.
He always performs, and his shows are made up of video and film.
Well, that's a pretty serious difference.
It is. And when he does his levitation, and I'm a fan of magic, and I video every magic show that comes on.
Mm-hmm.
And on stage, you can see the sleight of hand sometimes. And the reason you can't see it with David Blaine is that he edits. They edit. And he does his levitation before maybe 8 or 10 people, and he chooses the location so the lights and the distance and everything is good for his levitation.
Mm-hmm.
And then he performs it, and it wows him, and it looks great.
Mm-hmm.
But he was exposed.
Well, how do you fool the camera?
Well, how do you fool the camera? The picture you're talking about?
So you're charging that this is an edited picture that somebody went
right
in with Photoshop or something like that and edited the photograph. Here's the problem I've got with that. Again, I just talked to a guy a little while ago who was 10 feet away from the guy,
mm-hmm,
when he did it, you know, standing there.
Sure.
So, if it's a Photoshop deal, then what did this eyewitness see?
No, when you see him do it, it was done like that magician that was on with you said. It's done on one toe. Now, he was exposed by this masked magician, his levitation trick. And they showed how he did it. He set up the same scene and was next to a building, and he had a rig set up on top of the building. This was after everybody left. And he had the same wires that Copperfield uses when he flies. And it lifted him off the...
Out in the middle of the sidewalk, huh?
Right.
What's bothering me about what you're saying, sir, is on the one hand, you're saying it's a Photoshop trick, that he really isn't levitating. And then on the other hand, you're telling me there were wires that actually lifted him up. Now, if there were wires that lifted him up, they wouldn't need to mess around with Photoshop, would they? That just doesn't make sense to me. Now,
I can understand you might think it is a trick in some way. Fine, go ahead and think that. But the way you presented that doesn't work for me. If they were lifting him with wires, there would be no need for anybody to play with Photoshop. You sound too anxious to explain away what you can't explain away. The picture is somewhat astounding. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome. Where are you?
I'm in Winchester, Virginia.
Okay. That is really beautiful country. I spent some time at a friend's house in Winchester, and it's beautiful.
Well, I'm glad you like the area. Unfortunately, the deer won't stay out of the road.
Well, there are worse problems to have.
True. My first name, I think you still don't take last names.
Right.
My first name is Mike.
Okay, Mike.
And two things I wanted to talk about. First, if we catch Osama bin Laden alive,
yes,
I hope they make him watch the NASA archive video footage of the STS-93 mission.
Why?
Of the five astronauts on that mission, two of them, including the mission commander, were women.
Well, yeah.
And they have this thing about how women have to be treated like...
But don't you think that for him, that would just reinforce, you know, what he believes? He would just believe that it's an atrocity that he's viewing. And so I don't see what it would do to him.
Well, after we show it to him, we're going to tell him that we're going to show the same film to every Islamic woman in the world.
Hmm.
Thereby giving them the idea that they, too, can do more than be treated like cattle.
Well, this sounds somewhat cruel, but I have much more in mind for him.
Okay. And the second thing I want to talk about was cloning.
Yes.
I think it all depends on what you do with it. You can do good things with it, you can do bad things with it.
Right.
And I, for one, would like to see them clone girls.
Well, what kind of girls?
Lots of them.
Lots and lots. So in other words, as to even disrupt the present general relationship percentage-wise between the sexes so that, say, there were two or three women for each guy? Something along that line?
Something like that, yes.
Mm-hmm. Would there be any particular... Would you clone varying types of women, or do you have one type in mind?
Some variation.
But not too much.
Some variation, but all somewhat attractive.
Why just somewhat attractive? Why not extremely attractive?
Well, what most of us can agree on what's somewhat attractive, but we have a harder time agreeing on what's extremely attractive.
Well, let's go by you. What would you say would be extremely attractive?
Okay, let's see. Blonde hair, blue eyes, stands 5 feet 2 inches tall in stocking feet, and measurements of 36, 22, 38.
Wow. Well, I wanted to let you finish that up for that exact reason. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you now have in front of you one of the gigantic probable problems with cloning. The guy was honest. You know, he wants to clone babes. Now, you just know there's going to be a lot of opposition to this, right? Women have the vote now and everything, and it's not gonna go. But
But you can believe that there will be some who will endeavor to do this. As you can create supermen and good soldiers and whatever all else you might create, you can indeed create babes. And more people than would admit, as this gentleman just so bravely admitted on the air, more people than not would like to do exactly what he wants done. And you know they're going to do it. You just know they're going to do it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, Art. What's up?
Well, you at the moment.
Okay, cool. I'm Wendy from Burley, Idaho.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi. And I have to say that you've kept me awake many times. I work graveyard shift, and I appreciate your program.
Thank you so much.
Okay. I had an incident. My daughter was 16 months old at the time, and she was really sick. And so I put her in bed with me. And, you know, I was sleeping. And all of a sudden, I heard a baby cry, and so I woke up, and my daughter, she was asleep. Well, about a minute later, she started crying, too, and so I figured that she just cried and woke me up. Well, so she went back to sleep, and I was watching for a while, and I heard a baby cry again.
Yes.
But my daughter's mouth was closed. It could not have come from her.
And you mean it was as in as close as your girl?
Huh?
As close as your little girl, in other words, a close cry?
Exact. Because about 5 seconds later, she cried exactly the same way. And this happened like 4 or 5 times.
Yes.
I just watched her, and it was like, way cool. And I tell people about it, but they don't believe me.
You just said to yourself, way cool? I mean, her mouth was closed, and
I heard her cry. And then she'd wake up and cry the same way. She'd cry herself awake. And it would be the exact same way. It was very cool.
Maybe.
I don't know if it was telepathy or
maybe,
what.
Well, either telepathy or telepathy. She was projecting a cry that was about to happen. Pretty cool.
And it had to be her because the only child that was close by was like a 6-year-old boy. And so, and he was like a block and a half away.
Well, that's pretty weird, all right.
He's the only one. And I have another thing.
Sure.
About this cloning.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the egg. The egg, the genetic material is taken out of this egg.
Yes.
And it's replaced by other material. Well, about this genetic material, let me get my thoughts in order. I didn't expect to be on the radio.
Well, the way I read it was they just took DNA from an egg, only the DNA, and then like a hank of hair or a skin scraping, I believe it was, from the male donor and combined them, and it took. And it would have grown into a human if they had let it go, but they only let it go so far. I mean, that is some kind of serious achievement.
It is. It's pretty impressive. But what makes people think, you know, you look at it from a religious perspective, what makes people think that they know more about what should go into that egg than the genes that were predetermined by a superior being? And if you look at it as an evolutionary way, what makes people think that they know more than what nature has evolved for thousands and thousands of years and just take it out and put something else in there? What I feel is that what they're essentially doing is depriving a potential person of half their genes.
Well, we're going to do it, hon.
I know. I understand that point. But I object to it on that basis. It doesn't seem right.
What kind of weird position are we in the U.S.? This technology is going to go forward. It's going forward in Great Britain and all around the world right now. But we're considering laws against it. No research here. Do you think, dare we pass such a law and not do it here while the rest of the world does?
If we were to find it morally offensive, then I see that we would have no choice but to, in order to keep our own conscience cleared, no matter what other countries were doing. But it would put us behind medically, you know.
Not just medically, but even militarily.
Yeah,
well,
militarily.
I mean, what after all, if another country breeds the ultimate soldier?
Well,
and we
that's
don't.
What we got nukes for. That's what we got those big old tanks for. I have faith in the U.S. military. I think that we can pretty much take care of anything, including genetically superior bombs marching towards us.
Well, I hope you're right. I mean, they could be genetically, intellectually so far ahead of the game that our nukes might not mean as much as you think. I mean, it's a very serious area of research. Mm-hmm. I have incredible reservations about it, but I also see the possibilities, and it's one of those things like, we've got to be in the game, don't we?
Yeah, if we were going to clone them, I would sincerely hope that we would try to do the best that we can. The idea of clones running around with just a brainstem, I find that offensive also. You might as well make an entire person if you're going to do it.
Now, they would not be running around. They would be sort of probably in some sort of suspension, you know, hanging somewhere or floating in something or in a bed or, you know, whatever. They wouldn't be doing anything except...
just floating there waiting for their organs to be harvested.
Waiting for harvest time, that's right.
Yeah, I don't like that. I think that if you're going to make a person, you might as well make a full-blooded, breathing, living, thinking person.
But they wouldn't be aware they were... you know, waiting for harvesting. You know, they wouldn't know that.
We would know that, though.
We would know it, yes.
Yes, we would. How could we live as a society knowing that there's these vats of people?
Did you hear the young fellow on before me?
Yeah, I did.
And what he wanted for a clone?
Well, that's sure. That sounds like my sister's, but it sure didn't sound like me. I don't know. I think I'm kind of... well... you know, there's also another idea.
You wouldn't like that, would you?
Well, I don't know. I think a bunch of big old Arnold Schwarzenegger type guys would be kind of cool right now.
All right, see, both sides. Both sides. We're going to do it. I can tell we're going to do it. Jump, jump for my love. From the high desert. See you Monday. Ta-ta.